Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to border scenes to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rise that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the... So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Orbit. So I was standing at the coffee pot, and I was thinking to myself, Barbara, you know what a doggone granola bar is?
Of course.
I need somebody to invent a coffee version of that, you know? It's like it's already got its cream and sugar in it and everything you need to, you know, just go out in the morning when you're getting ready to run to the Knights of the Round Table show. You just grab your equivalents of a granola bar. It's got your coffee and all your breakfast all in one shot, and bam, you're ready to go. What do you think?
Well, now you got me thinking, that would be a big seller.
Well, when these zombie apocalypse things go on, we're going to need to be up and running really early so we can get out out of way in time to be safe and all that kind of stuff. See, folks, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, and I think we found out, one way, could be all of the ways, but nonetheless, zombies are real, yeah, and they'll step on your toe, they'll walk off cliffs, walk into stop signs and telephone poles, trip over footstools and coffee tables and all kinds of stuff. It's mind-blowing, Barbara, you know?
Oh, more mind-blowing stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. It's good to be here on this beautiful day, another beautiful day in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
The whole, it's interesting, the subject about the zombie apocalypse, because there's sort of like, this appeared in the news. Listen, there's always been zombie movies, right? I mean, we grew up with zombie movies, right?
Yep.
And so, but now there's like some kind of a influx of the zombie thing coming at us. Started maybe a little over a year ago, I noticed that this one city or state, I don't know, said they were actually serious, and they put out preparation for their people when the zombie apocalypse, how to prepare for a zombie apocalypse. And I thought, what? I mean, like, these people are actually serious. And that sort of got me thinking, well, you know, how they prepare us for what's coming, you know.
Well, in the movies, they had these, eat-your-face-off zombies. Well, then you heard that thing about bath salts coming around, and people get high on these things they call bath salts, and then they turn around and try to chew on people's faces and stuff. Did you see any stories on that?
Well, that, sort of. I kind of like... I'm not surprised. Again, it's sort of like the zombie apocalypse, I think, has been upon us. It's a real situation, a real circumstance through technology. I mean, we're talking the technology thing, but then how deep does this go with people's behavior beyond our comprehension, okay? It's not like people are just falling off a cliff because they have their face in their iPhone or bumping into, you know, trash cans or... This is the zombie apocalypse. When they talk about this, they have pictures of people, zombies, like the zombies that we saw in the movies that terrified us, you know? I mean, this is the, this whole thing, the U.S. Department of Defense actually released a strategy to combat a potential zombie apocalypse. I mean, this is the Department of Defense.
I've seen these zombies though. You go to Walmart, Kmart, any of the name brand shopping centers or stores or like that, and sometimes even in your own house, man, these people run around, it's like they're being sucked into the Matrix. They don't respond to you. You could have a conversation with them. If you do get their attention for a second, they give you that look, you know, like they do in the zombie movies, like whether they're trying to decide whether they want to eat you or take off.
Well, I think we're talking about basically the zombie thing appeared sort of like in the 17th century. These zombie tales in the 17th century started to appear around what was going on in Haiti. Zombies were believed to be African slaves who had committed suicide and weren't allowed to pass on and return home. As a result, they would be forced to work on the plantation for eternity. But this is a terrifying and thrilling myth surrounded the undead. So we're talking about the undead. Remember the movie, 1968, The Night of the Living Dead?
Yeah, that was disgusting.
Yuck. That, right.
Well,
yeah.
Before you go too far, I want to go back to that one part where you said the voodoo doctors and stuff like that, they would resurrect these people who either committed suicide or whatever, these dead people, and then they would basically become their slaves and stuff. And I'm like, this is kind of sounds kind of creepy, like it's got a parallel to what's going on here, you know? You got this technology that's pretty much zombifying everybody who's got it in their hand. I mean, on one hand, the internet's cool. You got all this technology and all this knowledge, but it's taking people out of the front yard and into the living room and onto the couch, or, you know, it's really bizarre. You know, people are texting each other from across the room.
Well, I've seen that. We've talked about having conversations with people. And the lack of, you know, being present and focusing, they're somewhere else in their minds. And you could call that a zombie effect, you know. I've seen people that I've noted over many years, I've referred to them as the walking dead. Now, this was even before technology that we're talking about right now has come in.
Yeah.
So what that means is when you say, that is a walk. Someone there is a person is a walking dead, means there's like nobody home. Nobody is home. Yeah, there's a physical being there, but there's like nobody is home. And we've referred to them as the walking dead. And I think there's a lot of people like that. Now there's even more because of this technology that has really basically usurped their cognitive abilities and, you know, and thinking, the walking dead.
Well, I also see it as like almost like remote control people. You know, like those movies where the phone will ring and somebody will say a keyword and suddenly somebody's out there doing something to somebody. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I know all these things may sound pretty, fantastic to people, but we see these things happening. We know the MK Ultra, you know, system mind controlling people's, and we know you talked about that billboard, right?
Yeah, the one you could hear it, but there wasn't no audible sound. It wasn't there wasn't no speaker there or anything.
Yeah, and so so then we know about subliminal messaging. I mean, that was uncovered in years ago, and they said,
"Oh,
oops."
Way back in the 70s, they'd used
back
to
in
put
the
a,
70s
a frame that, of popcorn and candy and soda,
yeah, and other things, most likely that they didn't want to tell us, but they said, "Okay, that was now outlawed." Well, I don't believe that they outlaw anything. I frankly don't. I think they cover it up.
I think they just get more sneakier about it. Actually, during the movie The Exorcist, I don't know why anybody would want to watch that movie. That's just so disgusting. But they put a short clip of a demon face right there at that specific part where the girl that was supposedly possessed by the devil, her head spun around, and subconsciously your brain picks up that flash of that demon and scares the living tar out of you. It's just like, why would you do that? I mean, why would you even watch that? That's another thing.
Well, that's an interesting question, because what is, you know, I mean, where's the common sense sometimes to send your child to, you know, see the movie The Exorcist or have it playing on your video in your living room and all sit down with popcorn? But I do want to say that it's not far-fetched. Exorcism is a real thing.
Well, don't
you know,
surprise me.
Possession is a real thing.
It doesn't surprise me. I mean, these folks that, you know, what I just mentioned about the bath salts thing, they're getting high, they're getting naked and running around and attacking people, and it's like, this is like something you would see in a doggone movie, but these are supposedly real occurrences that's going on around, and the people
taking they are real occurrences, but I think we're living in a movie.
I think I agree.
I think that's been created deliberately, but I want to talk also about the things that are going on daily, you know, in the news, in the world, of course, where, and I've noted this before because of the message I got years ago that you will see the behavior of people that will stun you, you know, I mean, literally stun you, and we see this occurring on a daily basis where people, and I have noted, taken note, that in these circumstances, numerous of these persons who have done, you know, performed or, you know, been involved in horrific things that stun you, that a human being could do that, they say, well, I heard this voice in my head. You know, they're talking about, well, I heard this voice or this, you know, whatevers, or people killing somebody because they said, well, they were possessed.
Well, at one time, when you said that about the people's voices in your head, that might have been something that people, that's crazy. They're really crazy. But when you think about that sign that you mentioned earlier, that's exactly how that sign worked. It sent a frequency wave out that you resonated in your brain, and you could actually hear this, I mean, audibly hear this in your head, but there wasn't no acoustic wave being sent towards you via your normal speaker. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Now, is this the technology that we talked about where you would hear the voice, and the voice would present itself as God?
Well, it's the same type of technology.
So it's the same type of technology where God is speaking to you.
Yeah, same type of technology, but that for some reason, when this thing first came out, it showed up on one of these tech shows or something like that, and people were amazed. They were looking around trying to see who was talking, and there wasn't nobody talking. They were testing out this billboard. Well, then suddenly it disappeared from the scene. Nobody heard about it anymore. You know, you can look it up on YouTube. You'll find a, you know, little short clippings of it, but you didn't ever see anything. But then I didn't hear again about it until I heard about some things that were supposedly going on in Iraq. They used to say that the Iraqi Republican Guards were like these really well-trained, almost like super soldiers, and then Saddam used to tell everybody that if the Americans come up against his Republican Guard, then they're going to have a real fight on their hand. And then suddenly you start hearing stories about how these people, when we came over there, you know, our military, I wasn't there, but when the military came over there, that suddenly these people are surrendering in masses to these individuals, to these soldiers and stuff. And why would you do that? But the conspiratorial side of the story, what they said was that they had this technology to where they could literally put sounds inside their head, like as if God was talking to them and telling them, you know, to surrender or whatever.
Well, the first inkling I had of this mind control waves technology was through HAARP. HAARP. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite a while back now that I read this article by what was the guy's name now?
I don't know, but I still got a copy of that book, Angels Don't Play This Harp.
Angels Don't Play This Harp. I got that book myself due to this, but was it Nick Begay?
I don't remember.
All right, well, we'll find out. But so I read an article about this American man and his family who were, I'm going to say maybe they were in Europe on vacation. And, you know, the news that they get over there is very different from the news that we get from the mainstream media, which is not really very, you know, indicative of news or real news. And so, but Europe has more of an ability, I guess, to find out certain things that are going on in our country that we don't even know about. And he was reading an article in the local paper there where he was, and it was about this HAARP discovered in the United States, a system which is a high technology of mind control. And he's reading this article, very intrigued by it, because it was up somewhere in the territory in the United States where he lived, not far from there. So when he came back home to the States, he started investigating, and that's how he came to write the book, angels don't play this harp, and disclose all of what was going on. He contacted certain people who had worked in that system, who whistle blew all the information, and it became very alarming. And so that was the technology through these electromagnetic waves or certain frequency waves that affect people's minds and behavior. And the idea was, well, the government said this was for homeland security, basically if we are invaded, that they can then control, you know, people's minds, and those coming at us or the enemy would be fall to their knees and surrender. That's, you know,
does that
along
sound familiar?
Lines. What?
Does that sound familiar?
It does, doesn't it?
It sounds just like that supposed tinfoil hat story about these Republican guards just handing themselves over and hugging the soldiers. Thanks for, you know, capturing us. Oh, this guy, that's like...
Man. Surrendering mass, I guess you'd say,
yeah.
mass surrenders. But that it would actually, not only they would just surrender, but they would kind of like go crazy.
Yep.
Kind of like lose their mind.
Well, we
see
that too. The zombies attacking out there, especially during election season. Zombies attacking all the time.
Yeah. They have this technology, so we're not talking through our hats here.
No, we aren't. If I watch these doggone news shows.
We are conspiracy realists, not nutcases.
Yeah. If I watch these doggone news shows out there, and they got this one video on YouTube that you can actually flip through the channels, and they're all saying the same doggone thing over and over. And some of it might change the words just a little bit. It's kind of like that game where you whisper something in somebody's ear, and then it goes to the next guy and the next guy, and by the time it gets around the other side, there might be something changed about it. You ever seen that?
Yeah.
Well, the media is doing the same thing. You know, they're
Listen, when they tell us, when they write things up, like science writes things up, or even movies or books or whatever, you have to look at these things as fair warning. They're giving you fair warning. They're putting out this truth under the, you know, guise of, a fantastic or fantasy or, sci-fi.
Well, that's it. Nobody's going to believe it because it's got zombie attached to it. Oh, yeah, it's just some sort of key, you know, deal for the, like, they call the presidents things like, I'm just paraphrasing, but like Dragon or Viper or whatever, some cool name, secret code for the president when they move him around and such. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, they all have secret codes and names, and it's like the, you know, the movies here, but I want to just talk about this mind control parasite. They're talking about, this is live science from science. Mind control parasite kills mice's fear of cats permanently. Now, you think about this. It's called Toxoplasma gondii, G-O-N-D-I-I. It's a bizarre parasite that makes mice unafraid of cats, and the latest chapter is a strange one. You know, this is a new study shows that even a brief infection with a weakened form of protozoan caused mice to permanently lose their innate fear of cats. So it's this protozoan is known to cause this change in mice after a lingering infection and after it produces cysts in the mouse brain, according to the study published online on September 18th in the journal Plos One. But until now, scientists didn't know this apparently long-lasting change could occur after only a short infection and without developing of cysts and brain inflammation. The study showed that the change occurred with weakened forms of all three major variants of the protozoa found in North America. You know?
That's creepy.
It's remarkable that even after the infection has been largely or completely cleared, the profound behavioral change persists.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so
they'll just walk right up to a cat and just basically go to their doom.
Well, so this is a Toxoplasma gondii is found throughout the world, and infects a large number of mammals, including humans. Oh, thanks for that information. However, the protozoan can only reproduce within the body of cats and in mice. Well, the mind-controlling parasite has evidently evolved to make mice unafraid of felines. Now, when they say something like that, however, the protozoan can only reproduce within the bodies of cats and in mice, I question that bit of information, because they are telling us either what's going on or what is going to be going on and what is coming. The parasite, okay?
Well, you know what? This is one of the things that when I first heard about this particular story, it kind of disturbed me, because you know how the military is always trying to make a super soldier.
Yeah.
Now, you can take the fear out of any soldier. You'd have a soldier that would run right straight into battle, no matter how many times the guy shot. If he didn't drop, he was going to get his enemy, right? And so, because he's not afraid. He's not afraid of dying or anything. He's just basically a zombie. I mean, think
about
this.
Well, so you have, just let me finish up with what you're just saying here with this article. It says the parasite is found in as many as one-third to one-half of humans, and its presence in the brain has been linked with suicide attempts. Now, so studies suggest that people with the parasite scored higher on tests of neuroticism, an emotional or mental trait characterized by high levels of anxiety or insecurity. So you're talking about soldiers, you know, who basically just will walk into, you know, toward the bomb or whatever, or that's like a suicide, you know, no fear, no reality here, mind control parasite, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, but what if that doggone parasite was like something that escaped out of the lab or something, you know?
Well, that's the question I was going to say. Where did this come from? This parasite, where, you know, I mean, you have to look at, suddenly there's this parasite that, you know, that they're talking about.
Well, in one of the conspiracies that I heard, it was an alien invasion that started taking over the planet through the cats. The cats would carry around this parasite, which didn't affect the cats, but it would affect, you know, humans, or, like, if you had a pet cat or the mice or whatever, and how it was transmitted was, I can't remember, something through mice poo or whatever, but...
Right.
It's just like, I'm just thinking about this thing here, you know, the alien deception or super soldiers or genetically modified deals, the zombie apocalypse. How many of these things are sort of related to each other? You see what I'm trying to say here?
Well, I think that's what we're discovering, Chez, is everything is related, actually. And when you have the U.S. Department of Defense releasing a strategy to combat a potential zombie apocalypse, they basically, you know, the potential opponents, the zombies, might be fictional, but the military took it seriously. So, you know, this plan that they have here, counter zombie dominance.
Let me throw a scenario out for you. I think I know where you're going. Let me throw a scenario out here. Let's say they started off this test, like a black ops kind of test, and somehow or another this doggone parasite, it exceeded what they planned on doing, and so a large majority of the population got infected with this thing. Now see, normally they want people to be sort of docile and, you know, under control of the government kind of per se, and now suddenly you got all these people who have absolutely no fear of death or anything like that, and so now that puts the doggone soldiers actually in jeopardy, because now you got these crazy people that will rush right in on you no matter what. So when, you know, this zombie apocalypse occurs, it's not just the soldiers getting attacked, it's the average Joe getting attacked as well, because these people, they're not afraid of anything. They ain't got no repercussions. You know, you see what I'm trying to say here? So something as simple as this mouse walking right up to the cat, and now all these people, which we're now calling zombies because they're infected with this parasite that basically has them suicidal tendencies, and they're just fed up with everything, and they're just attacking everybody and his brother. So now the military's got to come in and try to resolve this. You see what I mean?
Yeah, and as we're looking at this sort of, sci-fi fantastical stuff, yeah, ha ha ha, zombie apocalypse, I just found this, the Con Plan 8888 from an Intellipedia. This is unclassified. Headquarters, United States Strategic Command. It's called Con Plan 8888-11, Counter Zombie Dominance. It's classified by NA, declassify on NA. There's a picture of a zombie here, and there's a whole list of contents of this. What are the defense operations, the offensive operations, conditions for implement, plan execution, zombie threat summary, environmental effects. I'm going to pass this to you because this is totally real.
Well, I just thought of something. You know, that whole depopulation plan starts to sound almost plausible. If you got this population infected, some of the people might be immune to this particular parasite, and other people might not be immune to them. But you'd have to get rid of them. And how are you going to get everybody out there, the good people of the world, to agree to getting rid of a large portion of the population unless they're infected with this deal and running around attacking people? You see what I mean?
Right. Well, so it's so bizarre to me that we're talking about this, but in a way it's not. You know, we joke about the zombie apocalypse. It's in the movies. Now people are walking off cliffs with their cell phones or iPhones in front of their faces. They're so totally not present. The Walking Dead, we call them, and they're mind controlled and so on. But now we have the U.S. military, the government, with their Con Plan 8888. So I'm just gonna read this to you. It says, this plan was not actually designed as a joke. And during the summers of 2009 and 2010, while training augmentees from a local training squadron, members of a USS TROTCOM component found out by accident, and you know there are no accidents, but anyway, that the hyperbole involving in writing a zombie survival plan actually provided a very useful and effective training tool. You know,
wow.
I'm just saying. So you can read this when we get done talking here. I'm
looking at
this.
It right now. It's like mind blowing.
Yeah, so it is, because they're telling us right here what they're involved in. Now, why would a zombie apocalypse occur like randomly? We're going to have a zombie apocalypse. Well, then you have this strange bacterial or virus floating around, causing mice to become zombies and throw themselves in the mouths of cats. And then we have HARP, and then we have 5G, and then we have all these other waves of frequencies affecting us that is creating, in a sense, a culture of zombies. And so now, what they're talking about, they have pictures of literal zombies like you see in the movies. This government paper here has a picture of looks like a human, but it's a zombie. Half the clothes are torn off and the face is missing, and this is weird that I'm just saying. It's a counter zombie dominance operation, so let's say this is one of the plans, is to get zombified populations. Like you said, some people might be affected by this, others will not be. But now you have the government, you have the nation being attacked by zombies, which is their own citizens, and now the military has security instructions, have instructions on how to fight against, you know, counter zombie dominance.
Let me throw a double whammy thought in there for a second. What about you got this outbreak of Toxoplasma gondii and Ebola at the same exact time?
Yeah.
And these people are infected with both of these at the same exact time. Now, because they ain't in fear of dying or anything, they're not just laying around, but they're running around infecting everybody else. And so, in that particular sense, when somebody come with a, you know, bloody eyeballs and stuff like that, just rushing you, and man, I'm watching a movie in my head as I'm talking about that.
Yeah, well, here's more to the movie. So the purpose. This plan fulfills fictional contingency planning guidance and CPG tasking for USA TROTCOM to develop a comprehensive level 3 plan to undertake military operations to preserve non-zombie humans from the threats posed by a zombie horde. Because zombies pose a threat to all non-zombie human life, hereafter referred to as humans.
Yeah.
So the USS TROTCOM will be prepared to preserve the sanctity of human life and conduct operations in support of any human population, including traditional adversaries. The objective of this plan is threefold. So they're preparing for something.
I just thought of something else, man. This is getting wilder and wilder by the second. All right, so like you got all these people. Some people are people and the other people are zombies, and they're telling these people, like, look, you got to take this chip so we're going to know you're not a zombie. If we can't read this chip on you, we're going to have to shoot you because you could be a zombie.
You know what? Well, you sound like a conspiracy nutcase.
But I need to upgrade my tinfoil.
I'm just saying, people listen to us now. We're getting into the deep wackadoodle stuff here.
Man, I tell you, I'm sitting here thinking about this. You know, if you wanted to, like, they used to have these, I guess they'd call them sleeper, what was that doggone show where it was like, I don't know if it was Enemy of the State, or basically it was a spy that got in the heavy portions of government, and doggone it, there's another phrase for that. It's like a sleeper cell, but there's some other deal, you know, where basically they'll get a whole bunch of people in the population, and they are like spies for like a different country or something like that, and then they'll work their way up the chain of command until they get into places, and then whenever they get into places, they hit some sort of key word or ring a bell, and suddenly everybody's doing their task that they were set out to do all their life. You know, you might be born and raised in one country and you think you're a citizen of that country, but you've been trained in your mind prior to all this, like that old MK Ultra kind of stuff, and you don't even know you're a spy until that key word is hit, and suddenly you've got all these skills that you never knew you had before. You see what I'm trying to point out here? This is like one of them doggone sci-fi movies, action drama kind of things, you know, but it's like being played out in real life. I mean, there's real science, like that Toxoplasma gondii. If there's a genetically modified parasite that can take over your brain, and you got technology where you can sit there and have your cell phone, while you're carrying around your cell phone, it could be doing the same exact thing that billboard sign was doing. You wouldn't even know it. It's sending a signal to your brain. You're hearing all these noises, and you're thinking you're going crazy, so you're going to your therapist every so often and talking to your therapist, which you don't realize that therapist is like your handler, and they're just telling you everything you need to hear. Okay, here, take this pill and, you know, get some rest and everything like that, and everything's fine. You know, we'll work our way through all this kind of stuff, but they're in on the gig to begin with. They're not just by accident. You didn't just accidentally call these people up. They're your therapist, and you're going there for help because you think you're going crazy because you're hearing these words in your head, and they're essentially guiding you and keeping you in a certain area for a certain task until one day you get the sound on your cell phone that tells you, go over there and do the deed, so to speak.
Well,
is that Look, I could write a story now.
What do you think? I'm just saying that the government and the elite and, you know, as we know, we've talked about this before, they tell us exactly what's going to happen or what's going on, and it's up to us. Now, let's say it's up to us to be alert and to have critical thinking, but if you have people who are glued to this technology and they're not even present, how can you have critical thinking and be alert to what we're being told is actually unfolding because you're so dumbed down? We talked about this word, right, dumbed down. What does that actually mean? What is going on? And, you know, it's basically to wipe away your critical thinking, cognitive abilities.
Well, we've seen all these shows for years, and they were portrayed as like humor or sci-fi or just entertainment, and so we're already indoctrinated to believe certain terminology like zombie. Okay, this is just sci-fi entertainment, it's not real, so we don't take it serious, but we may very well be turning into the zombie that they're talking about. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, we have to, I'm saying there's a plan. I think we've discovered that.
Yeah.
I think that we've also realized, we've talked about this, the plan has been in place for millennia. When you have people believing in something so powerfully, so strong, no matter what it is, where they can't even look at or accept or even venture into another possibility or an alternative perspective on something, they are basically unable to step away or step out of the system that they have been trained to follow, to believe in without question.
Yep.
You know? And I think the term question authority is a really important message. Because, you know, we did a whole show, Patty and I, on the authorities, you know, that we are basically no longer sovereign, free-thinking humans. We think we are, but if you really assess your life and figure out what is every day your patterns and what is controlling you, you begin to realize, even if you have this ability to do this, which I think people may not want to. It's almost like if you have a belief in something for so long and your parents believed it and the society believes it, and now suddenly somebody's saying, guess what, that's all a lie.
Yeah.
How are you going to deal with that?
It's frustrating.
Well, it's terrifying, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's probably how they end up getting people to do a lot of things they otherwise wouldn't have done, you know, because suddenly you just shook their foundation of everything that's reality to them. I mean, think about this seriously. I know there's a lot of people that don't believe in a creator, right? There's a lot of people that don't believe in a God. But hypothetically, what would be the case if everyone came out with irrefutable evidence that there was not a God? There was not a creator, and we had absolutely no consequence for anything we did, that we were just able to do and say whatever we wanted. Could you realize what this doggone world would turn into?
Well, I'm going to call you on that, because I'm going to say my perspective is that we humans have a power to co-create our reality. Now,
well,
it doesn't mean
that too.
Well, so in other words, there is consequence.
So
there will be consequence.
But
whether you're not going to, okay, let's eliminate the hell thing, and let's eliminate the purgatory thing, and let's eliminate standing before some so-called God up there within a white robe and a beard who's going to stand by the pearly gates and say, "Oops, oh, sorry, you cannot come in." Okay, eradicate all that stuff, because all that stuff to me is wackadoodle manipulations to terrify people. But there will be consequences, because we are participating in our creation, in our reality. That's across the board.
Well, yeah, the realistic consequences is we could actually destroy ourselves in the process of not getting our act together. But what I meant was, like, now some sort of morality-wise, you know, hey, it's, you know, I ain't got to worry about going to heaven. I ain't got to worry about going to hell. It's just everything is what it is what it is. And how are you going to get all these people for all these years who have been indoctrinated into any type of belief or lack thereof to finally come to the realization that we're all in this boat together, and if we don't work together, we'll do like many civilizations before us, and we will war until we destroy ourselves and the planet we stand on. You see what I mean?
Yeah, well, let's say the whole thing that we've been told about everything across the board is a lie. It's all a manipulation. It's all a controlling factor to basically zombify us, dumb us down, and control us so that we can't think for ourselves, and therefore we lose our innate fundamental nature about manifesting for the good of all or for the good of the whole. So let's say that those in charge or the authorities knew all about this ability that humans had and were given, and the power of belief, for instance, and we could throw in there the power of a focus of prayer or words, right? So words have power. So if you are constantly saying that life sucks, well, then your experience is going to be pretty sucky, I'm just going to say.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, Chief Charles Trudog popped in here and says, with a God or no God, mankind is killing each other and other things as well.
Yep.
And so he's right. And the thing is, it's not about God's going to make everything all better or that some savior's going to come down, because I think that's part of the cover-up of how we are participating as human beings and the power that we have and that we gave away.
Well,
you know,
the people who want to try to maintain control, it's almost to me like if you're watching a movie of some mad science guy that builds a monster, and the monster's there to control people. You know, it's going to be the mad science is going to take over the world using this monster, but then suddenly the monster turns on the master, so to speak. And now they got to figure out how to sort this out. You know, like, for example, in our human nature, we got free will. We get to choose whether or not we want to be a jerk or not. Well, you put this parasite in our mind, and suddenly you got these two entities inside the one body fighting amongst each other for control. And now it's totally out of control of the people who designed it in order to try to either depopulate or take over or whatever. And so the monster's now turning against the machine, if that makes any sense.
Well, we have things appearing in our culture that are pretty stunning and shocking. A wave of, I guess you'd say, discomfort or behaviors that are stunning us. And it's in pretty much a lot of factions. And it's difficult to really get clarity when you're sidetracked with technology and you have no critical thinking. You just have reaction. You have an emotional reaction. And you can't get clarity when you're reacting. It doesn't come that way because it's the emotions that they are affecting.
Yep.
Our emotions, okay? So you have to have a tool which I call discernment. And discernment is a frequency. Okay, and this is everywhere we go. Patty and I were doing research the other night, talking on deep stuff, as usual, and we come right back around the circle to the big key here is the power that we have and its frequency. It's understanding what frequency and energy is, and the power, meaning the frequency of word, the frequency of thought, the frequency of behaviors or actions. So, and we have the opposite, so we have a high frequencies, we could say, which is compassion or love or understanding, right?
Yeah.
We have these are high frequencies. And then we have the opposite, the opposing factor, which is hatred and divisiveness, okay, and separateness. So those are lower frequencies. So we all have these capabilities to participate in life and create our reality. You know, this is what I'm talking about. But people, if you don't have critical thinking, you can't discern the frequency around you, or you can't discern a frequency of another person, or an unseen something, you see. So when we do research, for instance, we're using our discernment tool, or when something, I have a question to the universe, okay, or let me say it maybe more distinctly where people might understand better. So let's say I'm asking God, or I'm asking Great Spirit Wonka Tonka for advice or guidance, right? Now I'm going to receive information, and we are constantly receiving information on all levels, but you have to have discernment and awareness, which is a sensory perception of the frequency of the information that you are receiving. Because all information, all that we are surrounded with has a frequency. Now nature has a harmonious frequency. Like, for instance, there is no such thing as an evil tree. Right? I'm just saying, to give you an example. But people have the capacity to be zombified or be something attached to them, some negativity or control factor, but they may appear normal to you. And if you don't have the discernment tool, a sensory perception of frequency of that person, you could basically be, you know, duped or follow somebody that you don't have a clue about what they're doing, or even the government. You know, the systems that we are under is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. There's a video I'm going to try to post over here on the deal. It's called The Minds of Men. It's a documentary. It's a really long. It's like 3 hours or something or whatever. But these particular two individuals, they're from TruthStream Media. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. But
yeah.
They do some really interesting documentaries, and I'm pretty positive this is the one I'm thinking about, but I will double check in later on if I can find the other one, because both of these documentaries that I'm talking about are really interesting. This one goes down through the whole entire of the history of psychiatric treatment, where they were actually testing not just adults, but children. They were doing things where they would actually put probes in people's brain, you know, and doing all kinds of tests to try to supposedly heal, you know, people going crazy and all that kind of stuff. But it fell under a whole lot of the MK Ultra stuff that you'd mentioned. And it's just, if you watch this video, it's mind-blowing that anybody could, number one, legally get by with doing any of this. But they were doing it in all kinds of hospitals, they were doing it in prisons, and just basically experimentation on people. That if you see what they're trying to do here, basically they were trying to be able to get it down to where they could actually control your brain. They could actually manipulate you, what you think, and to the extent where even if they wanted to put a microchip in your head to, you know, supposedly, you know, under the good portion of science, make you really smart. Well, under the bad portion of science, if you disagreed or disobeyed, they could punish you instantaneously with the flip of a switch. And if you watch this video, it'll blow your doors off.
Some open brain surgery.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one. I'm positive this is one. I'm going to share this video in the chat room. I'll actually even throw it in there for you too, Barbara, if you want to watch it later. But
I do. I did watch that video.
Did you?
I mean, it. Yeah. I'm just saying the, you know, talking about the inability of people, showing us really the inability of people to have critical thinking about what is really going on and what they are participating in. Yeah.
Yeah. But these folks, they were getting these people to do all kinds of things. They even had one guy that actually, you know, had a remote control and different commands he could push on there and get monkeys to go around and be violent to each other and stuff. You know, and...
Well, there's something innate within people that I feel that, I'm not going to excuse my word there. Forget the word innate, but I think our fundamental nature is really something different than what we've been inundated with, that is within us, that have been imprinted in us, to give us the ability to torture other people and to, or watch someone else being tortured, watch something without having any reaction. You could say that's a zombie, a person who has no feeling or awareness or connectedness or critical thinking about what is unfolding. what they are themselves participating in, whether they're not actually cutting the head off of that person.
Yeah.
But they're standing there allowing this, like, sort of dumbed down zombieism, right?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
One other thing about this, because you talk about frequencies a lot. One other thing about this to note is that whenever they're doing these tests, it's electrical related. They're actually putting probes with electrical signals into the brain. So if you can directly connect a chip to a brain, you can run electrical signals into whatever ending you want. If you want to raise their right hand, you hit that and it'll send a signal over to that particular nerve ending and raise the right hand. So you've got a remote control person going on right now. But this the key to that is, if you look at your remote control for like a remote control car, you can do this wirelessly. You can send a signal out to people, even if they don't have a chip in their mind. If you got that right frequency, they can hear what's going on inside. You see what I mean? This ain't science fiction. This is science fact. They really do this stuff. They can do this stuff. There's that sign that we talked about. They just kind of up and disappeared off the scene. You don't hear anything about it anymore. The year 2020, we're going to have these signs that talk to us, and they'll read the chip, and they'll tell us, specifically what kind of things that they know that we're interested in, because they've collected data throughout the entirety of all these years while we're out here on the internet shopping and talking to each other. They know our likes and dislikes, and so they will market to us direct without ever even having an audible sound, specifically to the individual that walks past the scanner, and it picks up the chip and knows you. The thing knows you. And it will sit there and show you an advertisement on this screen to things that, oh, look, there's a sale over here on your favorite potato chip. You see what I mean? That's a zombie. You know?
Yeah, well, there's no cognitive thinking about that. How did that appear, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's something look at that, fits me. I'm going to go there and shop there, you know, but it pops up on your personal. I've had that experience. I don't know. It's like talking about this is that, so my daughter, who lives in the same house with me, uses my Wi-Fi, but still and all, she has her own, you know, a search engine and everything on her system. And she bought a pair of boots off a line from a specific company. And do you know that on my computer, when I opened up my computer, I was getting advertisements from that company.
Yep.
Right? And I'm looking at this, and I was shocked, because I'm thinking, wait a second, how does that happen? How does that happen?
Well,
I don't know.
To put a crazy profile out there, number one, because I understand the doggone nature of Facebook, I accept any friend request. I don't care who it is. I don't care if I don't even know them. I accept it. They put a friend request out there, I accept it. And I always randomly just type in just something crazy that I'm not even interested in, so that I can basically manipulate their algorithm. This guy's nuts. I mean, he looks for flying monkeys and this and that. And so randomly, I'm throwing all kinds of stuff out there just to watch for exactly what you just said right there. To see, when I get on my TV set and I'm watching Netflix, which is connected into the same computer system, knows my household, knows me, I'm seeing videos about flying monkeys. You see what I mean?
I do.
And if you're driving down the road and suddenly you hear it on the radio, that's a little bit more in depth. Your cell phone's following you around. How's it? You go past the tower, your cell phone's got your numbers and your information in it, and suddenly that cell phone says, hey, look, there's a guy over here. He's close to our store. Let's advertise to him. All right, I'm hearing a commercial about a specific car that I am driving.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, let's say that let's go a little deeper here about how we are controlled from the beginning, from the get-go, because I believe that it has been set up this way because we have an intelligence and basically an unprecedented abilities and intelligence as human beings. But for some reason, we're not using half of the brain, I guess, that they say, that we were given. Yeah, why is that?
They say we only use a fraction of it, and that's why
why were we given this brain? Okay, why didn't we just get a half a brain then? I'm just saying, because that's all we're using, right?
I'm thinking at some point in history, I think mentally-wise, we've actually been purposely de-evolved to not understand our full potential. Because if you look at people, including myself, I actually had a brain injury, and my brain somehow or another rerouted itself, which opened up things that weren't there prior. You know, basically, it's kind of like whenever you go blind, your other senses get stronger kind of deal. And
yeah.
So my mechanical abilities just kind of peaked, you know, where before I might have been pretty good at something, but, you know, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I'm seeing the things that, the way that I see things mechanically, it blows my mind.
Well, I'm going to say that you're correct. I feel you're correct that we have been, you know, somehow incapacitated deliberately from the abilities that we were given. I mean, I don't think we can argue with that, you know. Why would we all be born with these capacities of a full use of our brain capacity, and yet we only use a portion of it? They gave us that information, didn't they? And everybody goes, oh, isn't that interesting? Nobody says, well, wait a second, why is that? How can that be? That'd be like, well, you're born with two arms,
yeah,
and two legs and eyes and ears and so on and so forth, and a mouth to speak, and you're using all these, you know, abilities that you have, but the brain that you were born with, you only have a certain capacity to use that. What happened?
I don't know, but when people lose a limb, they still feel it like it's actually there, you know?
And so let's say that this was a deliberate thing to, you know, basically what we call mind control, controlling our minds so that we only have a certain capacity of use, because that's obvious to me. So let's say that what we focus on, we are creating, what we believe in, we are manifesting. So what is it that we believe in? What is it that we are focused on? We're focused and believe on everything that the authorities have given us or told us we should focus on and believe in. I'm just saying. So right from the beginning, humanity has been, you know, given information about what to believe in. And I'm going to throw the book in there, because the book is the same thing, or the history of humanity, or the history or origins of humanity. All of this has been set up for us, what to believe in, what to focus on, what to fear, and so on.
That makes people like you and I wild cards.
Well, we are wild cards, and so that's my question, is how did that happen? Like I wrote to, I think Annie said she had difficulty in church. She was very antsy and couldn't handle it, and she used to make paper airplanes. And I wrote that, you know, people who had trouble, really uncomfortable feelings in organized religion situations, really because they knew the truth and they knew that they were being told a lie. But you're a child and you're basically forced to go to this system, into this system where you're sitting there and your innate nature, your fundamental nature and the wisdom within you is screaming, this is all a lie, this is all a lie, run, run, get out of here. But you cannot, because you're a child and you're forced to go there because your parents are basically inundated and, you know, and mind controlled about, no, this is true, this is real, you know, and this is what the book says and this is what these authorities are telling us, these men in dresses and so on, because that's how I'm going to say it. Because that, to me, is all a game. It's all a fix. And people, thousands and millions of people, are focused on what this book and what the authorities are telling us, and we're focused on the fear of what they tell us to fear. We are focused on what to believe. Now, you know, as I say, what we believe in and what we focus on, we manifest. Now, that tells me that we are all participating unknowingly in what we are experiencing and what we are creating and manifesting. Well, you know, things that go bump in the night. So you have this zombie apocalypse thing. So now everybody's terrified about the zombies. We've seen it in movies, and it's like your worst nightmare. And now the government is telling us to be prepared for the zombie apocalypse, and everybody's going, oh, my God, the zombie apocalypse. Are we focusing on what they are telling us and then manifesting this and creating it? I believe so, and they've told us that we don't use this amount of our brain, and everybody believes that, but nobody questions why. So we all believe, well, we're incapacitated. Our brain is just sitting there, was given to us. It has this unimaginable full potential, yet we're only using a portion of it. But nobody questions that. We all accept that. Oh, yeah, you know what? I'm only using a certain portion of my brain. They accept that as real for them. There's a brainwashing right in your face. So all that we have been told, all about our history, all about the systems, everything about our origins and everything, and creation has been manipulated, and we are all believing in the system that tells us what to believe, and therefore we are manifesting and creating this whole mess.
Seeing how's everybody on the planet, the Earth or whatever, has a doggone same biology, and you see individuals who have the capability of taking one look at a person, walking away from that person, going home and painting an exact replica of that person, or even sculpting an exact sculpture of that person. Now, why is it some people have the capability to have like photographic memory to the extent where you're talking about when you're doing a sculpture, you're looking into three-dimensional situation there where you basically walked around this person one time, went home and sculpted it. There are really people like that out here. There are people
But this is interesting that you're talking about this. I was watching this documentary on this artist who sort of was had extraordinary skills. He's a German person, lived during before and during World War II. But this man was a stunning sculptor, and he said, you know, this comes, in a way I'm paraphrasing, but he said this comes from source. This does not come from a book. This does not come from a professor in a university. You will not get this, because what you get in a university and from a book is designed to basically limit your natural creativity. You get me?
Yeah, so if there was an actual source where you was tapping into it to get all this information, then that means that each individual would be blocked off to certain informational, like a radio receiver. You could only pick up this particular portion right here because somebody's blocking that signal out. But if you could pick it all up, that whole thing about talking to people without ever opening your mouth, where you actually can communicate without even talking, just with your mind, through your mind, like a radio wave, you know, you got all walkie-talkie. I'm talking to your brain through my brain. It's like when you're being around somebody long enough, you start to get so in tune to that person right there, you're answering their questions before they ever even open their mouth. That's not science fiction, that's reality. I mean, everybody's probably experienced that at some point in their life. Somebody's clear across town, or maybe even in another state, and you know when that person's in trouble.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Well, these are natural. You see, what you're describing is a natural ability that we all have. But we're told that, you know, that it's not nothing, that it's not important, or you're wacky or crazy, or, oh, it's women's intuition, or it's blah, blah, blah. You know, but what this artist was saying, and I totally agree, is that the education system is about dumbing us down and preventing us our natural creativity and our natural connectedness to source that is creation of everything, okay? I'm an artist, and I never went to art school. I mean, I took art in high school, but I was not didn't go further. So I had this issue. Now the issue came from society's authorities. The issue I'm speaking about is, well, I became really an incredible artist, but all from source. You know, I never was trained. I didn't get a degree in art, and that's a big taboo. You know, you can't claim yourself an artist, a real artist, if you weren't educated and paid a lot of money to the society system, the authorities that give you the paper that you pay a lot of money for and say, okay, now you're an artist, or now you're a professor, or now you're a psychiatrist, or now you're, you
or
know,
a
whatever.
Scientist? Or a scientist? You can't claim to be a scientist if you haven't got that college degree, that sheepskin or whatever. That's why I put that link up there to go to the If you go in the super chat room, there's a attend the University of Mad Science, and you can get your degree to be a mad scientist.
Yeah. Well, so what I'm saying is, I had a friend who did go through the whole system of authoritarian education for art. She had many degrees in her artist's ability. She went through the whole system, so she had those papers on the wall that she paid a lot of money for. I didn't have that, but she saw my art, and I was saying, well, I don't think I'm an artist. I'm not a real artist. Now, this is the brainwashing that I had received. I'm not a real artist because I'm not educated. I don't have degrees. And she said, no. She said, I wish I didn't go. I wish I hadn't gone through the education system to become an artist and get these degrees. They mean nothing. She said, your art is real creativity. It comes from, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here, these are my words, it comes from your heart, spirit, and your connectedness to source that is innate within every human being, every one of us. So that got me thinking. So now I had to change my perspective of myself and say, yeah, I am an artist, and I'm a natural artist. I'm a creative person, which comes naturally to us. And I didn't need to be educated or receive any degrees in the system that the authorities set up for us to basically dumb down us and prevent our true nature, our natural creativity, because everyone has natural creativity. Some might excel in this area, some might excel in that area, or some might even, you know, learn many other things to become creative, but it is innate within us. So the system systematically dumbs us down by putting us in education, you know, confinement, because it confines us. And religion does the same thing. All the systems, education system, religion system, why do they call it organized religion? Okay, because they're organizing you. And to me, personally, I don't need anybody organizing me in relation to who I know I truly am. I'm a sacred being. I don't need somebody to stand in front of me and say, this is how you pray. I don't need somebody to stand in front of me and say, I'll get you to Creator. I have, you know, I can basically eliminate your sins. The sinner says to you, I can eliminate your sins.
Huh.
Okay? A human can say to you, well, yeah, I have all the answers because I've been ordained speaking for God. God spoke to me and blah, 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 and I have all the answers for you. No, I don't need that. There's nobody, no one in this world, a human being, that can get you connected to your true Creator and the source within you. That's up to you. Nobody's going to save you from hell because, you know, that's just another scare tactic. And I'm not saying that there aren't consequences of our actions upon this earth during the time we are living, because there are consequences, and they're tenfold. So we are affecting things and people, and what goes around comes round, you know? And yeah, there is that time when you leave the physical and you have this, I guess you want to call it, the people who have near-death experiences, which I have had several, and you do have this moment, this blink of an eye moment, when you reflect or are shown all that you have done during your lifetime, pretty much, and you go through the trials and errors and pain and horrors that you had created upon others in your lifetime, and you experience that in that moment. And it's not a fun place to be. So what we do here on Earth, there are consequences, and we must reflect upon that when we are free of this physical. Okay, but all this man-made scary stuff about hell and purgatory and spending eternity into hell, and there's all this stuff, that's all manipulated to terrify us and get us into through the doors of the church or whatever organization it is that needs you to follow what they are telling you, to use you, enslave you. So you're not a free thinker. You're not in your own truth, and you're not using your fundamental nature. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I think you would pass the exam to become a mad scientist. I posted a link into everybody in their brother's chat room. So if you see that and you take that really difficult test and you answer that correctly, then you can print out your honorary degree for mad science and post it on your wall and be proud, you know. But now if anybody ever asks you whether or not you got, you ever been to college or university? Yep, been to college, been to university, got my degree. How long did it take? Oh, about 5 seconds. Huh? Yeah, you already passed the test, Barbara. You should go and get you a diploma and print it out. Because now you can honestly say that you have a degree in mad science.
Well, I think I have this people say, well, where were you educated? And I say, I was educated out on the mother.
There you go, which is, if you want to talk about science, science is talking about observation, it's talking about testing and repeating, and if you can't learn from nature, you're not paying attention. And so some of the best scientists are ones that just walked around studying nature, you know. You can see it. Nature will teach you all kinds of things. You can learn about so much.
Yeah, of course. That's the original teacher, you see. This is what I'm talking about. The nature is our original teacher. And we've been basically disconnected and dissociated from this original teacher. You know, and life out there, the nature, the animals and creation, the original teachers. That's what I'm talking about. We have all been usurped. Our original function, our nature, our fundamental nature has been usurped, twisted, and hidden from us, basically. And people are still following the trend of giving themselves over to authorities. You know, I'm sorry. There are so many authorities out there that you are not your own authority. If you continue to walk through the door of the system filled with the authorities, you are not your own authority. You know, you must come to connect with your own inner knowledge, inner wisdom that you were born with, and the amazing, extraordinary gifts that you have for natural creativity and natural exploration and adventures and fearlessness of yourself as that child, you know. Yeah. So it's very discouraging in a way to see how this system has reigned and captured everyone, and they think, oh no, I think for myself. Well, I am sorry, you do not think for yourself, because you are under the system's brainwashing. Basically, you are not your own person. You are not, you know, following your own fundamental nature, because you know nothing about frequency. You don't know. You can say, oh yeah, I know about frequency, but no, you do not know really about frequency. You do not understand the utilization of frequency, the discernment of frequency, because frequencies are everywhere, as you know, right? Talk about science.
Yep. If you attend the University of Mad Science, that's your first step into finding out what about all that, because now you're going to open your mind and pay attention to things a little bit closer, a whole lot closer than you ever did before in your life. That's the whole thing.
Well, half the time you ask someone, well, how do you feel? They don't even know how they feel.
Yeah.
They're so disconnected from feeling, the real feeling inside of themselves. So they go to their mind, they go to the monkey mind and the intellectual mind that says, well, you know, yeah, I think this and I think that. No, I said, how do you feel? What are you feeling? What do you mean? What do you mean, what am I feeling?
Yeah, it's like,
I don't know what I'm feeling.
Is this a trick question?
That's a trick question. What do you feel about this? What do you feel about that? Well, I think this and I think, no. What do you feel? What is the feeling that you get when you read this? What is the feeling that you get when you're around that person? What is the feeling that you get when you go out into nature? What is the feeling that you get when you go into this building, that building, this structure, and so on? What is the feeling? People don't know. People have no clue. They've been disconnected, dissociated from feeling. And that's generations. That is generations. And that is a deliberate agenda to disconnect us from our source.
So do you think that there's a cure for zombieism?
I do. Oh, yeah, I do. Absolutely.
Well, that's what we need. We need a cure for zombieism so that they can, like, get that direct connection back and be able to, you know, just start living life again. If they ever lived life to begin with, that's the question. You know, have we ever lived life to begin with? Because from the time when we were born, we're always told all these different things. And so it's like that show where the guys inside the movie said all of his life, I for the life of me can't remember the name of that show half the time. You know which one I'm talking about? He's on this set. He's raised up in this movie set all throughout his entire life. Doesn't even know that everything around him's a lie. That the people he went to school with and all the people around him are all actors, and he's the only one that's not hip to the inside secret. You know which one I'm talking about?
I haven't watched TV in centuries.
Oh, somebody help me out in the chat room. I've mentioned this before on the show. I just cannot for the life of me remember the name of that doggone show. Truman Show, that's it.
Oh, the Truman Show, okay.
Yeah. So he's thinking he's living his life, and you know, all this time he's just been manipulated through there, and it's like everybody on the outside is watching him on TV like their favorite soap opera, and that's why sometimes I get this feeling that we're all in the doggone Truman Show, you know?
Well, I think we're in some kind of show.
Yeah.
I think the major population is in some kind of play, some kind of theater here. Like I'm saying, because they are not their own authority. I could look at someone pretty much, and I can discern energetically that these people they're caught. They're not their own authority. Okay, they have no clue. They are desensitized. They have no critical thinking. They have no connection to the source within them. But they're looking outside, believing in this person, that person, this book, this TV performer, this authority. This is how we've been set up, you see.
Yeah.
So you have to begin by basically being willing to accept that this is a possibility, okay, first of all, because you said, is there a cure? You know, there's a healing process. And it's an ongoing, it's a long-term healing process, because, you know, we're talking generations of imprints and brainwashing here about yourself, that you have no clue who you are. You don't even know why you're here. Why am I here? What's my purpose? Well, you know, why was I born? Because in your mind, you're thinking, well, I was supposed to be successful. I was told I was supposed to aspire to become the CEO or this, you know, wealthy person, or gain this and gain that. That's what the authorities told you. So therefore, you're believing that, well, I'm not successful because I don't have billions of dollars. You know, well, those who have billions of dollars, trust me, they are so disconnected from their source, from their true nature. They've just aspired to basically step on people's faces and push others aside and even go to war and kill people to aspire to what the authorities been told, you know, told them to do. You know, this is the system. Their idea is, to be successful, you must be on top and step on people and basically gain a lot of money. That's success. I'm sorry, there's something missing there, because those people have no inner peace. Well, what the heck is inner peace? I mean, well, why do I need inner peace if I've got lots of money? I'll feel good. Yeah. That's what you're told.
I'm just wondering why it is that, you know, some people out there, you know, if you watch some of the shows on doggone YouTube or whatever about some of the militaries, and we're talking like people take cameras over there and they're filming documentaries and stuff, and you see how these people just like are so desensitized to what they're actually doing over there that it's like... I have a hard time getting a grip on that being a reality, that these people would be able to go over there and kind of laugh because they're shooting a machine gun at people. You know, if that's not some sort of mind control or whatever, I don't know what. You know, it's some sort of blatant evil that would turn what would have been otherwise a normal, decent person into basically, you might as well just say, a hardcore killer, you know, without any kind of remorse. It's like, funny, I just shot these people with this doggone machine gun, and I don't see that as being the human nature. I don't see that being true human nature. I mean, some people say, well, yeah, people are evil, you know. I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the way we were designed to be like that. Matter of fact, even if you go back to all the biblical texts and references to all the different you know, religions out there, different cultures, it was always talking about not killing people and treating people right and all that kind of stuff. They never went out there and said, you know, go out there and kill each other and all this. And I don't think when a person's born that they're ready to, you know, go out there and start hurting people.
It's too, you know, I think the most important thing, and is in the Bible, for instance, are the Ten Commandments, how to live.
Yeah.
But we were all given this. It's not just the Bible. I'm sorry. This is Creator's law. This is Creator's law, okay? Everything, those Ten Commandments, you know, it makes common sense. You don't need anything else, really. You just don't. This is the key piece here, you know, is basically given every one of us the fundamental nature of humanity and how to be in harmony and balance upon this earth. You can't have harmony and balance if you are setting out to get a lot of money, because in order to get a lot of money, that's called greed. And greed is a sickness. It is a disease that will allow you to harm other people or harm the earth. You see, so you don't need a book, you know, really. It's within us, this natural nature of being kind and compassionate and loving and do no harm, you know, because look, we're all living here on this earth. We all need the clean water. I don't care who you are. But you're not going to get clean water going to war somewhere over there and killing other people. That's not going to give us the clean water. You're not going to get the clean water if your politician gets voted in because I'm sorry to inform you that these politicians are all about greed and they're all basically, you know, owned and run by the corporate lobby.
So if you're... If this is all like a battle between good and evil, and you want to keep control of what otherwise would have been the good people and basically win that war between light and the dark, you'd have to figure out all kinds of tools and tricks in order to get people to do things or say things or think in a way that they otherwise would not have done. I mean, because if the Ten Commandments came from the initial instructions of the Creator, and then suddenly you got people going completely contrary to it, not to mention the fact that like mainstream media and entertainment industry does and says things on there that would, if you match up what you see on TV and hear on the radio and even alternative media to a lot of the extent, that they're contrary to everything that Ten Commandments even said. There's things going on in this world. You're not treating people the same way. You're treating people because of their color, their skin. You're treating them different because of the political view or whatever. There's no such thing as like a family anymore. You're at one point over here in the United States, at least, like in the 50s, marriage was a big deal. You had a family, a man and a woman gets married, and they raise a family, and it's a family unit and all that kind of stuff. But now, it's not like that. Everybody changes partners like they change hats or shoes, like it ain't no big thing, and it's like, it's normal. And even to the extent of the language, like, we're not into censorship here, but we want to be respectful to people. And so there's certain words in the English language that basically are not necessarily English to begin with, but either way, there's certain words that we have as a society seen that these are vulgar, all right? You know, certain terminology. And so you don't want to run around throwing these around, you know, like that. People use them to express anger. They use them to express excitement. They use them just like... I mean, sometimes I sit there and talk to somebody in real life, and it seemed like every single other word was effing this, effing that, effing this, effing that. And I'm like, wow, you guys just throw that around like it ain't no big thing to me. I'm trying to like have a respectful conversation with somebody, but it's normal. And even here recently, during the new introduction of the new Congress to the United States, there was a Congress lady to come out there and said, we're going to effing impeach this bleepity bleep or whatever, you know? And I'm like, you know, okay, this is all supposedly normal, it's natural, when at some point in time, at least we were kind of thinking about what we were going to say to people, because words have meaning. They're powerful, you know, and you don't want to, you know, you can abuse people with your words, right? There's actually people out there that get really triggered because you might say a certain word that it makes them feel bad or whatever. I don't know. But words are powerful, regardless. And so,
well, I'll say the words are the most powerful thing we have, and they do create reality. And you have people just waiting for some authority to say, go kill that person, or that person needs to be beheaded, or those people over there are the ones you need to fear. I was listening to somebody who's very, very, very deeply connected to Q. I'm going to talk about this because this people need to know. If you've been following Q, or you heard Patty and I speaking about Q, there are people who are aligned with Q, like someone called Serial Brain 2, and the War Drummer, okay? I'm just giving you two of these persons who are very, very deeply connected and linked with Q. Therefore, I'm listening to this War Drummer person who's saying the most atrocious, scary things that is evil to me. And he came out with these words. Now listen to this carefully. This is a man who is aligned with Q. Okay, and he says to these people who are thousands of listeners to him now watching his YouTube live, and this is what has happened. A lot of these people stepped into this Q phenomenon, and now they are doing YouTubes, and they have thousands of people following them, and now they are selling product. Just saying.
Yeah.
And now this man, War Drummer, says, well, you know, the people who are left on the left, the people who are Dems, the people who are Nazis, he's equating these people in this way, and the people who, you know, who are in that arena will have children someday. Listen carefully. And those children are who we have to be afraid of. Those are the ones we have to be terrified of. This is about our future. Now I'm listening to this guy and I'm saying, well, he's talking about violence against children that haven't even been born yet, because he's saying, well, the Dems / Nazis / liberals, okay, will have children in the future. And his argument was that if you are a Democrat, if you are / a Democrat Nazi / liberalist, guess what? Your children will follow in your footsteps, and those are the ones that we must annihilate in the future. That's pretty much what he was saying. Now, that to me, wow, that to me blew me away, and I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. You have a forum here with thousands of people following you, that you are connected to Q, and you are telling people that if you're a Dem, that means you're a Nazi, and you're a liberal. Basically, your children are going to be the ones that we will be needing to eliminate.
Yeah, see, that's disturbing. And here's another...
Very disturbing.
Here's another aspect to that whole potential deal, you know, because of all this right here. Number one, somebody could be stirring the pot to try to quite literally start a civil war. However, imagine this. If suddenly this generation right here loses the Constitution. We no longer have these rights because we're under the guise of national defense or whatever. We got to declare martial law. Well, this generation right now that's talking, we remember these rights. The next one down, not so much. They don't remember near as much. The next generation over, they don't even know they even had rights. They don't even know outside of maybe seeing American flag somewhere that, you know, this is like a piece of our history. We're not really sure what it's all about or anything like that. But incrementally, you could basically erase history as if it never even happened. And so that whenever the next couple generations come through, they don't know that there was ever anything such as freedom. And
well, that's the idea.
Yeah.
They're working to erase our history. They've lied about our history to begin with. But this period of time that we are experiencing our history here in this timeline will all be erased. Because now you have the movement of transhumanism. Okay, now you have the movement into artificial intelligence. Now you have the movement into cyborg, you know, humanities will no longer have, you know, a critical thinking or an ability to discern or determine anything on their own. They'll just be chipped, and then you have to follow, you pretty much have to follow the authorities or else you're out, you're done.
Remote control people who no longer think for themselves, who are AKA zombies.
That's correct. The zombie apocalypse right in your face.
Yep.
So I questioned, there was a Q put up a little quote. This is a quote by Q. He said, "We will show you a brave new world."
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought to myself, well, that's familiar, brave new world. So I went investigating. Well, sure enough, you people, you want to Google Brave New World, Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, and you will see what this means. It's a place you do not want to go, but this is the place that they're going to take us to, because it is the One World Order, Agenda 21, Agenda 30, the cyborg zombie apocalypse, where you will basically be taking a pill every day, and you are enslaved. Your mind is enslaved. Your body is enslaved. This is the Brave New World that Aldous Huxley spoke of, and my questioning... Q saying, "We will show you a brave new world."
Say,
what the heck? So I questioned that on Serial Brain 2's forum, and I was censored. Why was I censored? Why would I be censored? And I was censored. All of my posts about this question I have is this, you know, this leads, the brave new world that Q said, "We will show you a brave new world," and I questioned this. Okay, that led me to Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. There's no place you people want to go.
Yep.
Nobody. Well, I was censored by Serial Brain 2, who basically, I believe, is one of the Q people. Okay. And so I'm just saying, you have to question everything. And aren't we told by Q and everybody else, question everything, question, question, question. But you're not allowed to question Serial Brain 2, or the drummer, or even Q. You're not allowed. And the Anons are right in the mix of it, who believe fully and wholeheartedly in Q's, you know, trust the plan.
Well, let me tell
where we go one, we go all. Trust the plan. Well, guess what? When somebody says to me, "Trust the plan," and they don't give me the plan, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm not going to trust the plan.
Well, let me throw another monkey wrench into that machine. All right, you ever played like one of them video games, Nintendo, or you know, even the old Atari games or anything?
I never did, but I'm familiar with them.
All right, well, whoever owns the joystick is the one that's actually controlling the player in the game, right? Well,
right.
Now you got a couple different entities volleying over who's going to get the joystick so that they can move all the zombies to where they want them so that they can do their bidding, you know? It's a... I've been telling people for a long time, you're being played like a banjo. I mean, these people are manipulating you to fight amongst each other.
Yeah.
You're the zombie. They got the joystick. They're telling you, go over there. These guys are talking bad about you. Go over there and attack them, you know. even the senators and the congressmen and women up there telling people, if there's somebody's on the other team, go out there and get in their faces, you know, and tell them they're not welcome here anymore. Is that what people do to each other? Is that part of the Ten Commandments thing that, you know, is a general rule for goodness for everybody, you know, whether it came from Buddha or Jesus or the source or whatever? Is that what humanity, we're going to be having this battle between good and evil forever and a day, as long as whoever's behind the scenes messing with the joystick and pushing all the buttons is in charge? So people got to figure out something. You got to figure out that inside your mind and your heart is a different entity that has nothing to do with the system, and that the words that are coming out of your mouth are so incredibly powerful. The system knows this. The system knows it. So if the system didn't know it, the example would be this. If the system did not know you were powerful, they wouldn't care what you thought. They would just do whatever they wanted. They would not be afraid of you to the extent where it's like that grasshopper telling the other grasshoppers that one ant getting out of control is a bigger deal than they think, because those grasshoppers outnumber them, or those ants outnumber them grasshoppers 100 to 1. And so when those ants realize what's going on, then the grasshopper's way of life completely ends. It's almost like whoever wrote that story, The Bug's Life, was trying to tell we the people that this is what's going on here. You know, you're being manipulated by this one particular group, but check this out. You outnumber them thousands, if not millions, to one. And when you realize that your true power, your voice and your actions and all the things, your creativity, that you could actually change this world to not have to be underneath the type of system that they're trying to control you with. Their system benefits them because it financially keeps them in power. They live in the lap of luxury. They'll tell you that they're going to tax the rich so that makes you feel good. So that, okay, well, now the rich is going to be paying too, you know, more money. And so we're going to punish the rich. Well, in reality, it's the rich person telling you they're going to tax the rich. And so where's that money going that they're pulling out of your pocket? It's going into their pocket. The same person who says they're going to tax you is the tax collector. They're the same people who are getting wealthy off of all the drama that's being played out on the news media. They are the ones taking the taxes from the rich. Well, if I take money out of my right pocket and I stick it in my left pocket, whose money is it? It's still mine. But initially, the money came out of your pocket, both of them. And so now I got it in my right pocket, and I'm telling you, I'm going to take it from the rich, and I'm going to give it to the poor, who's going to turn around and give it right back to the rich again, and I'm going to put it from one pocket to the next. I'm going to make sure that these rich people, they get punished and taxed. That makes you feel good. You, the little zombie down there that doesn't realize your true potential, is allowing yourself to be manipulated like a banjo. So that whatever you do, as long as they say something that's going to make you feel good, as long as they tell you you're going to be safe, as long as they tell you you're going to have food in your cabinets, in your belly or whatever, as long as they tell you they're out there trying to do something good to make the world a better place, you'll tolerate a few bombs over in this country. You'll tolerate a few bombs over in that country. You won't tolerate them in yours. All right? You'll tolerate a wall over here, but you won't tolerate a wall over here. You won't tolerate, you will tolerate, but you'll do it exactly like you've been programmed to do all along, whether you're a Democrat, whether you're a Republican, or none of the above, whether you believe in a God or don't believe in a God, it does not matter to these folks. It don't matter if you believe in the devil, because maybe they do, and they're in charge. They got the gold. He who has the gold makes the rules, is what the saying says. And so as long as they're making the rules, as long as you're looking at that shiny gold saying, boy, I sure wish I had some of that gold. I could eat some of that fancy food and dress really nice like that. So you go out there and you work real hard in their system. And you give them their dues for allowing you to work real hard. You give them their dues for when you finally get lucky and you buy yourself a piece of property that they still have paperwork on, as if you're just borrowing it or renting it. And then they still charge you taxes, so you give them more of their dues. And you get up here on the doggone deal and you vote. And you tell them, I want this man as president. When you get your personal president in there, you're happy. And then you're frustrated because the other side is saying, oh no, he's evil, he's a Nazi, he's a terrorist, he's a racist, blah, blah. Well, the last guy on the opposite side of the fence was the same doggone thing. He's a crook, he's a criminal, he's stealing, he's lying to you. And that's to keep you constantly pitted against each other so that every single election cycle, the mainstream media makes money hand over fist for all the ratings, and the government's still the same doggone government. Two sides of the same coin. The left wing, the right wing are connected to the same exact bird, for Pete's sake. Don't be a zombie.
Well, that's true, and that's when the heck are people going to wake up to that fact, that this political system is run by the authorities to pit us against each other and to basically keep placing their people in there who are going to do the same bloody thing anyway that the past one did.
Yep.
Okay, and when are people going to realize that nobody is going to come and save us? I am sorry to disappoint everyone. I am totally sorry, but this is the truth and the reality, and you better get real here. Because you're being told somebody's going to come and save you. Oh, the Savior's coming, whether it is a being, a human being, or some whatever, going to come and save you. What do you think we're here for? What is our purpose? Why are we here? Why are we here now spinning like crazy people and believing in the authorities who are telling us all kinds of things, pitted against each other, and let's go back to war, because that's where it looks like we're heading, or martial law, because that looks like where it's heading, or the economic breakdown and the end of this and the end of that. Oh, but wait, somebody's going to come and save us. You watch. Will be somebody that's going to stand up and say, ah, I'm going to save you. I'm going to make America great again, and I have to address that, because guess what? For many, America was never great. America was basically founded on, based on this foundation of genocide, manifest destiny, and slavery. And I don't have to get into the history of this. You just have to do your own history and wake up to that fact.
Let me jump in there for a second before we get too far away from this one point. You know, I call myself a Christian, and I talk about the Bible and all that kind of stuff, but I also got to mention something else. That it, regardless of whether it is a story or it isn't a story, there's one thing that was said in that book that makes a whole lot of sense, and if you pay really close attention, it says that no man knows the time or day that he'd come like a thief in the light at night. It's like you don't even know the day you're going to die or the day doomsday's over or whatever. But here in the meantime, while we're all living in this same exact boat, we're going through all these things together, regardless of what we believe or don't believe. We don't know when the last day or the doomsday is coming around, so true logic would, if you want to be intellectually honest, even if you're a hardcore atheist, true logic is we ought to be trying to do the best that we can for one another in the meantime to at least lessen the pain that's going on in this world. Honestly believe we got enough power to fix this world. Regardless of all the stories, left or right, or biblical or non-biblical, if we actually took all this technology that we're talking on right now, and all the knowledge that we have access to right now, and we basically let the system do what the system does, and we begin to build our own individual system amongst each other, networking, dream teams, and all this kind of stuff, that we have solutions and answers to where when we get to the end of this journey, the Buddhist, the Christian, the Muslim, the hardcore atheist will finally get down there, we'll open that curtain, and we'll see what the real truth is on the other side. But in the meantime, the wake that we left behind us is one of we just started fixing everything on the way. When we finally got there, we put all our differences aside on that journey until we finally all found the truth. We didn't have anything to argue about because there it was right before our very eyes when we ended this journey. But we're not at the end of this journey. So in the meantime, we got to make our water drinkable. We got to make our land livable. We got to make our lives tolerable. We got to get out from underneath the gun of the ones that have to put us, like the guy said, uses for cannon fodder, you know. We got to get out from underneath the wars and the ridiculousness. That weapon only becomes dangerous when you pick it up and decide with your own mind that I'm going to kill somebody with this weapon. That's the only time it becomes dangerous. The rest of the time, don't worry about that doggone gun sitting there on the table. All right? I'm not saying don't use gun safety and lock it up, keep it away from the children, all that. That common sense we're talking about here. Common sense is, since we don't know when the end of the world's coming or how it's going to get here, we better start working towards making things better so that if there is no end of the world, that we can make this world better so that if, like, for example, in the history of time, there may have been multiple civilizations prior to us that constantly got to a point where they destroyed themselves. And how are we to ever to become truly enlightened to what our true potential of humans are if we never learned the lessons of the past, because our past has been hidden from us? We don't even know who we are, where we are, what we came from, how we even got here, or anything. And while we're trying to seek that truth, we're tearing each other apart. We're breaking down our networks, our radio networks, having arguments behind the scenes, and they're breaking up, and they're splintering off into other networks, and all this kind of stuff. And our unity is constantly being tested by the system, by the darkness, the beast, whatever. And so if we can get past that point, and actually go for the gold to finally, truly find out what we as humanity could actually achieve, I think that each and every one of you would be so incredibly amazed at your little tiny piece of the puzzle being the actual solution to the problem that exists in this world. When you got a 500-piece puzzle, and that one tiny little corner's missing, that picture will never, ever be complete, no matter how hard you try. You can't replicate that puzzle piece and put it in there. There's no way to do that. But if you get that one little puzzle piece dropped in that corner, all of humanity succeeds. And we do something that was never done in history. We not only thrive, but we see how far we can actually go. Whether it be to the stars and beyond, or whether it be to literally bring about a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak, then our future generations will be born into a world where they don't know pain and sickness and all the ridiculousness that mankind has put upon one another all these years throughout the history of time. What do you think, lady?
Well, I think that we're all here at this timeline for a very significant reason. And it's up to us to discover that reason and not lament the fact that we are here and it sucks, you know, because we're here. Obviously, we came here through a determination, through an agreement. You know, I call it the original agreement. And sometimes we're met with extreme challenges. And this experience here in this timeline is an extreme challenge. To me, I feel it is a battle of the dark and the light and the spiritual battle. But what does that mean, a spiritual battle? It means that we have a spirit within us and we are being inundated with lies. And, you know, everything about our experience here is being, you know, authored and controlled. And it's not our fault, in a way, because we have generations of this. We were trained and brainwashed by those who came before us because the authority has been in this system from the beginning of time. But I have to say that this timeline is a crucial timeline because we are leaving the fourth world of chaos, entering into the thousand years of peace. And 2012, the doorway opened, the portal opened, the big shift occurred. Wasn't the end of creator or creation or life. It was the beginning, okay, of a new paradigm. And we are fluctuating in back and forth between the fourth world of chaos, the millennia that we have been functioning in this world of chaos and the controlling factor and being dumbed down and lost.
Do you think that's why the system is struggling so hard to get us back in line?
Say that again?
I said, do you think that is why the system is struggling so hard to get us back in line? Because it's almost like somebody opened Pandora's box and everything's breaking loose, or we're seeing things that we're not supposed to be seeing. We're hearing things that we're not supposed to be hearing. We're talking to each other now.
And we're knowing things that they didn't think that we were going to know.
Yeah.
And here we are. And yes, so they are, the assault is ramping up against us, and that's where the spiritual war is about, is our nature, our fundamental nature, and who we really truly are, and why we came here, why our people came here, why creation exists in the first place. You know, let's say like a long time ago, like we talked about the Kali Yuga. The first Kali Yuga was the Golden Age, and some people call that the time of Lemuria, okay, where the system in Lemuria was of a high frequency. It was a spiritual connectedness and relationship in how to live in harmony and balance. In other words, all received the original instructions on how to live in harmony and balance. And so then you have the downfall of the Golden Age and an introduction to a different age, which where everything became corrupted and everything became dark, and the wisdoms and the knowledge of our original instructions became lost. And then you had various beings coming through. We call them holy beings. You could say Buddha or, you know, the feathered serpent or Konkukan or Viracocha, the peacekeeper, even the white buffalo calf woman, came through in different periods of civilization to bring back the wisdom and the knowledge that was originally given to all of us. Okay, but this entity or usurpers of the divine or usurpers of the sacred or the harmony and balance came back in to destroy basically what we were all originally given. Authority, sovereignty, natural creativity, harmony and balance, okay, and peace. So we are in this flux, and we reach this other Kali Yuga now where it's time to leave the fourth world of domination and chaos and become sovereign beings again, sacred beings again, because the wisdom and knowledge is within every one of us. Every one of us, it is there. You cannot kill or erase the spirit, soul, slash, soul within us. That is a given. But you can cover it up and you can bury it beneath a lot of crap, a lot of input and lies and domination and beliefs and so on. And that's what has happened. So we are in this extraordinary timeline right now, and so you all came here for that. If you're here on this earth, guess what? You're supposed to be here. If you were not supposed to be here during this time, you would not be here. In other words, you would have already crossed over. Let's say you needed to come back 5 years from now, a year from now, 20 years from now, and resurface here on this earth to participate then. So maybe you had to leave now at this timeline. Maybe you need to be here because your presence is so crucial. Your awakening is so crucial. Your heart spirit and your song, I call it your sacred song, your presence on earth is so significant. Every person here. And everyone is struggling pretty much to awaken, because that's part of our innate nature, is to awaken and realize that we are sovereign beings. We have a creator, a great spirit that has dreamed and envisioned us here and the sacred earth and our participation here to be in harmony and balance and peace. Then you have the other side, the usurpers, the dark entity, you want to call it Lucifer, devil, Luciferians, unhappy people, I don't know what you want to call them, but they came in to basically usurp the harmony and balance and create chaos and madness and insanity and hate and violence. That's a spiritual war that we're up against, because that is not spiritual, that is not source. That is another entity, a low frequency, a dark frequency that we are feeding with our hatred, our separation, and so on. So it is in our hands. Nobody can do this for us. There's not going to be a savior coming on a white horse. I'm sorry. And frankly, it's not going to be Donald Trump either, and it's not Q. It's none of these. These people are just one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is the same. That's how I look at this. Yes, good things are happening, and bad things are still happening as well. What are we? How are we participating? Are you relying on Q? Are you relying on Trump? Are you relying on Clinton? Are you relying on this one? Are you relying on that one? Guess what? Turn your attention into your own inner spirit, the power that you have, and the source that created you. That's who you must align yourself with, because it's time now to shift into the higher frequencies in order to get into and align yourself with and experience the 1,000 years of peace, the fifth world. This is where we are. It's amazing if you really think about it. I'm just saying, so it's time to wake up, and there is a struggle to wake up because we have been under the zombie apocalypse, system, and the government is preparing for the zombie apocalypse. Rioting, because that's what they're expecting all the people to become. Rioters and crazy people in the streets, and that's what the system is. They want us to be that way. So they're getting you riled up and angry and frustrated and annoyed and helpless and hopeless, so that you're going to blame someone, and you're going to sit there forever and wait for somebody to appear and say, I'll save you, I'm coming to the rescue. And where are you in this equation when you do that? Nowhere is what I'm saying.
Well, I'm throwing a link into the chat room for a Wikipedia article. I don't really like Wikipedia, but that's neither here nor there. Sometimes I look to it, Wikipedia anyway. But there's a deal on there called the 100 Monkey Effect. People ought to, if they're interested in what kind of manipulation could actually be going on in the world. The 100 Monkey Effect is a hypothetical phenomenon in which a new behavior or idea is claimed to spread rapidly by unexplained means from one group to all related groups once a critical number of members of one group exhibit the new behavior or acknowledge the new idea. One of the primary factors in the promulgation of the story is that many authors quote secondary to, I can't even pronounce that, tertiary or post tertiary. Do you even know what that word means? I don't. Sources which have themselves misrepresented the original observations. Anyway, look at that doggone deal. I don't even want to explain it. But there are a lot of different videos that you can go out there and watch how you got all these 100 monkeys, and they're trained to be told something isn't right. And so if any new monkey comes in there, tries to get outside those bounds, those monkeys will set them in line. They'll punish them. They'll push them away from the ladder. Don't you go up there to that ladder to get that banana. Why not? It's food. I want that food. You see what I'm saying? There's a mind control and manipulation of epic proportions. Whether you know you've been mind controlled or manipulated or not, if you're watching TV and then suddenly you get this urge to go out there and get you some McDonald's or Taco Bell or go shopping or something like that, you think that wasn't set out there just for you? Now these folks, they know they got power and actually know you got power. But that, as long as you don't know you got power, then they keep the power. That's the whole entire scam from start to finish. Whether you want to talk about the whole entirety of history or just modern day times, it's still the same deal, ain't it?
Absolutely. And what you just said, as long as you have your own power, okay, but you have to stop believing in that they have the power and you are powerless, that's part of what they're doing. Now, I want to say that what we talk about on these shows, you know, we talk about the good stuff, the wackadoodle stuff, and the bad stuff, and all that. And what we're telling you basically is be your own sovereign self and connect with your own spirit and your creator source. Okay, and that's what you have to stand on. That's your spiritual foundation. That's the most powerful thing you could ever have. Now, also, we introduce stuff like, you know, like what's going on in the world, which is part of the reality out there, but it's not my personal reality. I create my own reality. So you have to come to terms with that. How much time are you spending in that other reality complaining about it, okay? Because this is important. How much effort and time do you spend in that other reality complaining on it, about it, focusing on it, screaming about it, getting frustrated and angry about it? Because you are basically deleting your own power when you do that. And you're spending a lot of time where they want you to spend. Well, so it's distractions. It's distractions that I'm talking about. Distraction from your own source, from your own sacred works. Now, I talk about these things, okay? I share these things, okay? This other reality, because that's not my reality, but it's the reality many are stuck in and hooked into because they spend daily time screaming and yelling and complaining and posting stuff that is hateful toward Trump or hateful toward this one or Clinton or whomever or Russia or whomever is to blame. People spend a lot of time in that reality, basically outside their own personal reality and connectedness to source. So I want to make sure that I point that out because we are basically being manipulated to be distracted. And how easy it is to be distracted when we see this stuff going on because it, you know, makes us irate. But you have to have a balance. We must find a balance within ourselves. We keep the rhetoric of hatred going and divisiveness going, and that's out of balance for us. So you have to balance that out with your own sovereign connectedness and your own sacred way and your own ceremony, I'm going to call it. Okay, what do you do? What do you do to balance the dark? What is the light that you are shining? What is the process of your daily experience that you are bringing balance and harmony into your reality?
Can I tell you what I do, personally? What I do against that system is if somebody tells me I can't, if I don't know how to, it's not possible, I go to find out whether it is or isn't possible. I test it, you know? I don't just take nobody's word and say, it's like in alternative energy research. There's people that says these things aren't possible, but my research says otherwise. It is possible. Well, why would they want me to not believe it was possible? Unless it was something to do with control. Does that match what you're talking about?
Well, in a way it does. I'm talking about how much time. I'm talking about the people need to, Barry's asking to come in. Let me just finish this thought.
All right.
I'm talking about people need to become aware of how much time they are spending in the controlled reality. Okay, the controlled reality by the authorities, okay, is not my reality. I choose not to get stuck in there. I do address it. I do talk about it. But that's not where I spend my major part of my time. I have a balance. In other words, we need to find a balance. It doesn't mean that we ignore what's going on in that dark reality. Okay, it doesn't mean that we ignore it. What it means is not to get stuck in it. not to spend precious time in that, okay, by spewing out the negatives or the attacks on this one and that one. We can observe it, okay? Let's observe that reality that is so out of balance and so dark and so disconnected from source and truth. You can observe that. Don't get caught into it by repeating the rhetoric from that reality, that attacking, negative, dark, spewing out divisive reality. Don't get caught in it. You can observe it. We could discuss it. We are discussing it.
Yeah.
But we individually and collectively need to find our balance so that we are not caught in that other reality that is destructive to us, is what I'm saying.
I'm the mouse that jumped out of the maze. When I say I'm outside the box, I'm really seriously outside the box. Now, of course, to the people inside the box, that makes me crazy because some of the things that I say doesn't meet what they were educated to believe in. And I refuse to be the one, the mouse that's down there arguing with the other mouse of what color the cheese is. Is it orange? Is it yellow? Or what flavor is it? I don't know. Is it cheese flavored or what? I don't want to sit down and argue with something that's insignificant when there's something so much more to the world, and it sure as heck isn't inside this maze where we're all being guided around to the same doggone corral. I want to be free for real. I want to find the truth for real. I can't find it as long as I'm down here inside their system with their rules, so I jumped out of the box. I'm on top of the maze looking down at the rest of them saying, oh, are you guys going to keep fighting over that cheese, or are you going to come out here and let's go check out the world and see where we can actually go? You see what I mean?
That's I do. Difference. It's your own, it's your sovereign self. It's your own thinking, your own being, you know, fully and completely connected and in balance and harmony, observing.
Yep.
If you don't have the capacity to observe and discern that other reality that's been created and manipulated around us by the dark, okay, then you need to get, you know, deeper into your spiritual connectedness, because that's what I feel is this. We are in this battle of our own spirit within us and the dark, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
That wants to usurp our true nature and own us and rule us and control us.
In the TV world, they never show you the fourth wall. They never show the wall behind them because they want you to see everything that they want you to see, period. You're not to look behind you. You're not to get outside that box. You look straight ahead and keep your eyes focused on what they want you to see. I don't want to do that. I want to look where I want to look. I want to look around the world. I want to find these ideas and things out there and the same people who think like I do that can make this world better by getting outside the box. The free thinkers that we keep talking about. The dream team. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for people who really want to fix things, not just sit around and argue over why it is we can't. You know what I mean?
Well, there will always be those. Hi, Barry.
Good morning. Good morning, Jesus.
How you doing?
Just had my second cup of coffee, so the brain feels like it's starting to work.
Did you know zombies are real?
Yeah, well, I was in my zombie state this morning, but I got out of it.
Uh-oh.
A little bit of caffeine. A little bit of
Uh-oh.
Caffeine. Well,
we have a zombie among us. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Well, I think...
Get out the silver bullets. I don't know. Is that...
I see no evil. I hear no evil. I speak no evil.
I think
I'm just a good little robot. I'll sit in my corner, drink my beer, watch my hockey game, and pay my taxes.
I think there's
and
a cure...
And we're free.
I think there's a cure for zombieism. We're trying to sort it out. There's got to be a cure for zombies.
Is that what the? I didn't get a chance to listen to what you guys were talking to earlier because I was had to run out and get coffee this morning. Believe it or not, and I normally don't do that because I'm cheap. But I had this urge for a cup of coffee from down at 7-Eleven, so I went and got one. But I wasn't listening to you guys talking. So,
well, we need.
We're talking about zombies. That's a good subject.
We need to make up.
I just wanted to bring one point up this morning, Shaziz and Barb, about this. Convoy that's forming in Canada. I don't know if you've heard about it or not, but we have made national news now. They're really starting to pay attention to what's going on, but I'm going to be interviewing the two organizers for this truck convoy to Ottawa. It's going to be leaving Calgary on February the 16th. We are looking right now at 4,100 trucks committed.
Wow.
And that number is going up every day by 10 or 15 trucks. We have trucks from the United States now, trucking organizations that are going to send trucks into this convoy to descend on Ottawa. And we're looking between now and February, if the commitments keep going the way it is, we could have 10,000, maybe 12,000 trucks driving down the highway right into the downtown core of Ottawa, Ontario, and we are going to demand changes in our government. This is going to garner Xi attention from the mainstream media. The mainstream media, of course, is completely controlled by the left. We all know that. But this amount of people getting involved at this level is going to absolutely force them to expose what is going on, and they will be forced to expose. They will be forced to interview these truckers, and they're going to hear it. The Canadian people are going to hear it. They will not be able to keep this information back. So if anything, this is one of the best movements I've seen to bring public awareness to what's going on in our government, and that it will do. So I'm glad to have these guys on this afternoon. You're going to have to listen to the show, which is growing like crazy in Canada. Because Canadians are at a breaking point right now, literally at a breaking point.
Well,
so that's what I'm going to be talking to those guys this afternoon. So if you have a minute, Shaziz or Barb, tune in.
Cool.
It's going to be a good show.
Sounds like it. We need to figure out some sort of test to figure out how to know whether or not you're a zombie, you know. Like, the test would ask you questions like, have you ever played Pokemon Go and fell off into a river? Have you ever been texting on the road and slammed into the car in front of you? Have you ever texted your brother from the couch that sits across from the chair that your brother's in? You know.
We see that all the time. Go to a party where there's 20 young people there now, and they'll be all sitting in the same room, and instead of talking to each other, they'll be texting on their phone. That seems to be like the new method of communication. Of course, that is one of the worst things that's ever happened to our society. We know that. How it's do what it's doing to our children, and their abilities to communicate with each other has been completely taken away from them. And of course, this is all been done by design. Zombie, zombie, zombie.
How to tell if you're becoming a zombie? There's actually, I googled that up, and some different things come up, like hour one, pain and discoloration, brown purple of the infected area, immediate clotting of a wound. That's like a real zombie kind of reanimation after you're dead kind of deal. But there's other seven signs you might be turning into a zombie. Let's look, the government's
well,
got
Barry,
a plan.
Well, Barry, I was talking about, I found this link. You could probably find it on the site about the Skype site about the government's preparation for the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, they got a plan.
Yeah.
They have a plan.
They do. Well, you
so,
know,
I mean,
you
I'm
know.
Just saying, and the thing is, we've known this, but the point is, they're creating these zombies, okay, that's the problem, they're going to have the reaction, because people are becoming zombies, and then they're going to come up with the solution, of course.
Well, you know, and the entertainment industry always likes to put it in front of our faces, what's coming to society. They've been doing that for years. It's kind of, I think that's the way they get their jollies. Let's put it in front of their faces. They'll call it entertainment, but actually it's the reality of the world that's coming to them. We see them doing that lots of times. It is, and, you know, 10 years, 15 years ago, the movie came out, Zombie Apocalypse, and people were going,
Yeah, listen to this.
Well, here we are, folks.
Listen to this. It says, zombies are fictional, of course. They're mindless, reanimated human corpses with a hunger for human flesh. Anyone who's seen an episode of The Walking Dead knows what we're talking about. But in today's society, we're becoming more like zombies. We see stumbling around on our television screens. We resemble the living dead in the way that we present with our family, our friends. But so far removed as we gaze into our phones and scroll through Facebook and Instagram posts, hardly aware we're surrounded by humans who love us. Meanwhile, we are fighting obesity, depression, and loneliness, even though we have a gym on every corner and a health food on the shelves of our local stores. Why do we feel so disconnected and distant in such a connected world? Why are we living like the dead? Somebody answer that.
That's a very deep question. Barbara, isn't that, that's a deep question. There's multiple answers to that. It's multiple. But it's all choreographed to work together.
Yeah.
Everything we see that's happened to our society is a little piece of a choreographed plan that brings society to the state we are now so that we are very easily controllable. Look at the state of the health of society, our mental health. I mean, I've looked into nanotechnology. Boy, I'll tell you, some of the things they can do with nanotechnology now absolutely blows my mind. And to say that they can't inject things into our body without our knowledge, I think you'd have to have your head in the sand.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people in the alternative media are being, they feel like their brains are being attacked. She says, and I hear this from many people in alternative that tell me that, you know, I feel like my brain's under attack. What the hell's going on?
That 5G that's coming in.
We don't even know about.
The 5G that they're putting in place, more powerful systems, supposed to be faster this and faster that. Well, I'm like, okay.
Well, 5G, my God, we're almost at microwave levels of frequencies, and they call it convenience. People don't understand what this is doing to your brain. Then couple it with all the chemicals that we're putting into our body, all the chemicals that are in our vaccine. If people don't think that they take these chemicals, analyze them, and have a little plan for the future to see these chemicals interact with frequencies, I think you'd have your head in the sand, because there's some really deep stuff going on there. I don't have the brain to understand it, but I've looked into it a lot, and I've talked to some people that are very intelligent about this particular subject, and they've explained it to me. And, you know, I can't bring that information back up in my brain and put it out here on the air.
Aluminum.
But it's there for this.
Aluminum is a really good conductive of radiant energy. I've done research in my lab, and I love it, aluminum, because you can make really good capacitors. But aluminum has a good antenna quality. Not only can it receive, but it can send as well. And so if you're spraying the skies with aluminum to make the air more, friendly to radio waves, you could get a wider range, such as wherever you couldn't get a cell phone signal before, now you can, because it's traveling, that wave's traveling down through all that aluminum particles floating around in the atmosphere and such. And so, let's say you had a mad science device that you were going to try to control the world, like Pinky and the Brain, you know, we're going to make mind control and we're going to control the world. Well, you can't just do it with the normal towers you got up, because it's only going to be hit and miss. You'll have some zombies and not all the zombies. You want all the zombies if you want total control. And you got your little tin foil hat on that will block the wave out so that you're not under control too. But nonetheless, you need to make this antenna large enough so that it will actually affect all people and even living creatures on this planet. Whales and dolphins, they have a natural built-in radar, and if it's being tampered with, they'll end up going, instead of where they normally go, end up beaching themselves on the shoreline or swimming up into great big old piles of fish and trying to go to where they normally go, following the normal waves of the earth. That's their navigation. And so they get all up in one bundle, and now they can't breathe because there's not enough oxygen in that area, and they die off. And so we're wondering, why is this all happening? Well, it could be a scientific explanation. It could be the same thing as what we've been talking about, like HARP and chemtrails and all those years. These science guys trying to figure out how to send signals further, or how to manipulate, or how to actually find oil under the ground using radio waves and sonars bouncing things up and on. They never took into consideration how these little creatures of the earth actually navigate from one point to the next, like bees and birds and all that kind of stuff. And if you got a flock of birds and they're flying around, birds have a really intense respiratory system. They're like really energized, and they're flapping their wings and they're breathing heavy and they're flying along, you know, and then gliding for a while. Imagine a bunch of birds flying through a cloud of crud, and it all gets sucked up into their lungs, and then suddenly they pulse a wave, and for some reason all these birds start dropping out of the sky.
Yeah, no, nothing to see here, folks.
Yeah, but it's like, if you talk about it now, you are a tinfoil hat wearing nutcase, when in reality, they're really doing this stuff. Why would there be a chemtrail deals websites out there where they say that they will geoengineer for a price, how could these places stay in business if they weren't really doing business? They asked. Well, they say that they
there's
can.
There's actual patents in place for chemtrail composites that they're spraying in the sky.
Yeah.
U.S. Patent Office, go look it up. And if you look at the ingredients, you'll go, what the heck? I mean, we're talking about beryllium, strontium, we're talking about aluminum, nanosized particles of mercury that they're spraying into our atmosphere to deflect sun rays from the earth. I mean, all this stuff is metal-based. It's all ending up in our soil, in our lungs. You can't eat food now and not have a contaminant in it. You think you can wash the contaminants off, it's right inside the food now. And aluminum is rampant in our society. I get a laugh out of people. I walk into my buddy's house and he's got on the table a jar of coffee mate. I look at him and I say, you like drinking aluminum, do you? And you know aluminum causes Alzheimer's? He says, what are you talking about? I said, read the ingredients. Right on the ingredients, aluminum distillate. Well, you go to Carnation, who manufactures the product, and they'll tell you that they use the aluminum distillate as a preservative for a few of the compounds in the coffee mate. So you're drinking aluminum in your coffee. Well, I mean, are you out of your mind? But that's not the only example. There's many examples of aluminum being used. People got to wake up.
Let me ask you both a question. What is the ultimate goal of every single conspiracy under the sun?
That's a big question. Barbara, you answer that first.
Well, there's many conspiracies, but what is the goal of the conspiracies, I think, is to distract us. I think we're getting hit with all of this stuff that is distraction. That's what I said before. The plan is to distract us, confuse us, spin us, and get us pitted against each other, which basically eliminates our own critical thinking, our own sovereignty, our own authority. And, you know, I mean, we observe and investigate these so-called, you know, theories, conspiracy theories, you know. But we're finding out more and more, and I think the people out there are finding out more and more. They are turning to alternative news or alternative information more so than ever. And that's why the alternative news peoples and so on are being attacked and shut down, banned and censored. Because obviously there's some truth there. You know, that needs to be eliminated because people are now looking for the truth. People are waking up. And yes, there's so many things that we are being inundated with, you know, that we're talking about. Like I said, you could spend a lot of time every hour of the day talking about the bad stuff, you know. But I'm going to say that even though we do investigate that stuff and the theories and the conspiracies and the truths and the lies, I think there's something more significant and important that we, the people, must start really focusing on, and that is the innate power and abilities that we were originally given. And to stop relying on, you know, other outside sources for our answers. You can observe and you can investigate, but ultimately and innately we must come to that place that will give us the truth, and that is the truth meter. You want to call it that? I like to use the word truth meter because a meter reacts to frequencies or energies. You know, you hook up a meter to some whatever it is, whether it's a plant or whether it's something you're working on, Shaziz. You hook up a meter to it, and the meter, the gauge on the meter, fluctuates and gives you information. Well, we have that internal truth meter, which is a discernment tool, and whatever you read about or investigate, you can find out the truth about it or the lie about it through using your internal truth meter, which is a frequency. Does this feel high frequency? Does this feel a low frequency? Does this feel a good, a positive frequency, or an uncomfortable, kind of like creepy feeling, you know? Because this is the way we need to do investigations these days, and is using our abilities that we were originally given, because we're lacking these today, and we need these. We need to seek and find the truth, and the only way we're going to do that is to come into utilizing our fundamental nature and discernment gift and tool, which is about frequency. It's not a thinking process. You could sit there all day and think, is that real? Is that true? Is this right? Is this wrong? But you're not getting into the sensory experience or the feeling sensation of what that is that you're reading. Because it does have a frequency. Everything has a frequency.
There has to be a reason why in the movie The Day of the Living Dead that the zombies were going straight for the brain.
Well, maybe that was a good sign.
It was like they were trying to tell us exactly what's going on without telling us. Like, if I was in Hollywood and I wanted to give you a clue about something, and I knew that if I was to come right out and say, yeah, your government's doing this to you, then I would probably not be in Hollywood. I'd probably be somewhere else. But I can make this science fiction movie because that's all right. As long as you label it sci-fi or for entertainment, you can say whatever you want. And so when people look at it, yeah, the first time I heard zombie, it's like, yeah, I seen the zombie movie back in the day. Ha ha, it's funny. We're going to get attacked by people in the graveyard and stuff like that. And then we joke around about how they wouldn't be very fast because they'd be all stiff and everything. You know, it's all fun and games, but in reality, if these people wanted to tell me that there was something going on using these kind of sci-fi things like that, look what we talked about here today. We talked about a billboard that you could hear without actually having an audible sound, so they could transmit a signal in your head. We talked about conspiracies where they said that soldiers were giving themselves up to other soldiers because they heard voices in their head. All these
and mice were giving themselves up to kitties.
Zombies, zombie mice is walking up to the cat. Hi, kitty cat. I'm not afraid of you. What?
Well, what you're talking about, I'm going to interrupt you. What you're talking about is our frequencies, you see. We didn't cover this part, but we're talking about frequencies. So the sign, the billboard, okay, is emanating a frequency. Now, when you read that, you see, you know, maybe it's an advertisement for, you know, potato chips, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so your mind says, oh, potato chips. But there's something emanating from that billboard that is dark and basically intrusive into your collective consciousness here, unconsciousness. And it's a frequency. Now, if you're not tuned into frequencies, you will not discern that, wait, there's something else happening here. I'm feeling something. Why should you feel uncomfortable reading on the billboard about a bag of potato chips? But yet you're feeling an uncomfortableness or some kind of a frequency energy that makes you feel something. That's what you have to pay attention to. That's how you discern these hidden messages or these hidden, you know, assaults upon our own, you know, sovereignty. I'm just saying.
Well, there was a SpongeBob episode where Plankton, the little evil guy in the deal, Plankton was inside a SpongeBob brain and using like levers to basically make SpongeBob walk around and do crazy stuff. That sounds crazy, don't it?
Oh, that's what's happening, isn't it, now?
Yeah. But if you think about it, you got the remote control right there in your hand. You got your cell phone. Now everybody's going to be like afraid of their cell phone after this after this Knights of the Round Table. And we're going to have to figure
out. So, Barry, what do you think? Can't get away from this question.
I got what the ultimate goal is? To bring in a one world government, to bring the Western culture, our Western society, down, to bring in a one world government. And this has been in the works for many, many years and many, many different mechanisms they're doing or using right now to get society to that point. And I see that coming. I see society, at a point now where we're so sick, we're so under so much pressure financially, medically, physically, mentally, that society is really having a problem standing up and identifying the enemy. And that's what's coming. I honestly believe that we're going to see the implementation of a one world government. I say that because we've talked about this many times, is they control the money. And when you control the money, even though it's fake, even though it's not real, it is the one mechanism that they have the finger on the trigger of that could completely bring society to its knees in 24 or 48 hours. And we got to keep that in mind. So when these guys do push the button, it's not going to be pretty. You're going to see chaos in society. And, of course, out of chaos comes control.
All right.
And I think that's exactly where we're heading, myself.
On December 10th, 2007, an article by Andrew Hamp has said, and Hear voices, it may be an ad. An A&E billboard whispers a spooky message audible only in your head, pushed to promote its new paranormal program. I just posted the link to the article. I'll share it around to everybody. But if you read this, it'll basically tell you what we were talking about, that billboard where you can't actually hear it with your ears. It's actually sending a frequency wave out that your brain can pick up, because your brain is electrical in nature. You know, it sends signals using electricity. In your body, you have piezoelectrics with your muscles. Then your brain sends signals down to your muscles to tell them when to move and not, and all that kind of stuff. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility. It's actually proven science. They actually are able to put noises in your head that weren't there before. And all these people that we're talking about, they were targeted, or they had chips in their ears or whatever like that. They may very well have been telling the truth, because the other documentary that I presented, they were doing this to children in hospitals and people in prisons and people in mental institutions. They were testing all kinds of things on how to basically use somebody to either change an attitude that they didn't like. If they wanted you to not be happy, they could make you not happy, or whatever, any of your range of emotions. Basically, right. Mechanically manipulating you, MK Ultra kind of stuff. The things that, if you talk more about in the past, were tinfoil hat stuff. Now that Toxoplasma gondii deal that Barbara looked up and found, where the mouse is now infected by a parasite that is controlling that parasite's brain, is just like what Plankton was doing to SpongeBob in the movie. So. Now the mouse is going to the cat. Yeah. They're telling you what they're going to do to you.
If you want to know what's coming, just go watch a movie.
Yeah. Ain't that crazy?
I got a lady friend in Nanaimo, British Columbia. Debbie Newhook is her name. And if you guys want to look her up on Facebook or look up her YouTube pages. But she's been talking about, well, years ago she was talking to me about Morgellons disease. And I kind of didn't have time to really look into it at the point, but now there's so much to it that, like I said, I can't wrap my mind around it. But to say that they're not manipulating our bodies through chemicals, you'd be asleep, and they are, and they're wrapping it up. And if they could spray now, people got to realize that nanotechnology, and I don't fully understand it. I'm not an expert in anything. I just know a little bit about everything. But nanotechnology now is at a point where, under my understanding, you can actually take a receiver, a radio receiver, and make it nano size. And if that's possible, then there is no stopping the invasion of our body by entities that we don't want in there if they're nano size. We can't see them, we don't smell them, but they're invading our body. If that's true, and if they're at that point, then what they could do to us would be beyond anything.
That's why we got to realize that our spirit is so much more powerful than that technology. If we run around with our life using our brains is the easiest to manipulate tool that they've got at their disposal, if you believe in everything we're talking about as far as science fact. But your spirit, that free will that somehow or another kind of gets you in trouble, because whenever you buck the system, you become a rebel. You don't want to comply to what the government's saying. You know, that's something that everybody's got inside of them. And so this is something that they got to figure out a way to get control of. And the only way they can get control of that is through your mind, to tell you, to convince you that something's happening. You see what I mean? It's like, if I already believe in something, that is something that they can use to manipulate me to do something. Like right now, I don't like the idea of people starving in the world, so I'm more apt to go out and give money to a charity, because I don't want people to starve to death. So if they put it in my mind when I walk past this particular donation box via radio wave or whatever, that there's somebody hungry, I get this visual, there's somebody hungry, I'm going to walk over there and I'm going to put my money in the deal. Now, would I have done that by myself? Probably so, because I got a big heart. But the fact that I didn't choose to do this willingly, I was manipulated into doing it by being put this visual inside my head. You see what I'm saying? It's kind of exactly like how they advertise food and clothing and shiny things.
And the power of subliminal advertising.
That's it.
Is unbelievable how they can implant thoughts into your brain and you don't even realize that those thoughts are being implanted.
That's why we've got to do so
much. There's so much they can do that it kind of, like I said, she says, I can't keep up with some of the stuff. And when I look at it, it kind of just, it blows me away. But I know it's real.
We got to.
Because I know people that are looking at it. People a lot smarter than me that are letting me know that, you know, there's a lot to this and they really break it down for me. So we really got to be on guard against that. Now, there's got to be a way of protecting ourselves or flushing them.
We got
to. Well, I want to say that, again, it's about frequency, feelings and thoughts, you know, mind bloops, passages coming through your mind or your brain about creepy, weird thoughts. And feelings, energetic feelings that are uncomfortable or weird or intrusive or invasive. Again, these are frequencies, and you have to know that these things that appear upon us energetically or within our minds, you have to check out the level of the frequency, okay? Like divine frequency or light or from source, divine source, are higher frequencies. They feel harmonious. They're not intrusive, they're not invasive, they're not uncomfortable. So if you have these uncomfortable feelings, sensory experiences or thoughts, you have to pay attention because you could be being inundated with something that is negative or dark because it has a different frequency.
You just answered
evil
my
frequency.
Question.
Evil frequency.
Barbara, you
they're
just answered
there.
My question.
They're running rampant.
I was sitting here wondering, how would you even know you were in the Matrix unless there was something that just did not feel right?
Yeah. Well, when something doesn't feel right, that's a clue to do further investigation, my friends, because if we're thinking, if you identify and recognize divine source or divine frequency or high frequency, which is love and compassion and joy and gratitude, as opposed to the others, which is, you know, something hateful or vile or disruptive or disconnected or harmful, and those are different frequencies, and we're being inundated. We are being, you know, incrementally and powerfully inundated with the opposing frequencies to the divine, to our innate nature. We are being incrementally and powerfully now, ever more so, hit and whacked and, you know, with these powerful, negative, evil, dark frequencies, thought processes or information that come through from a, you know, from a controlled source or from out of the realms that are entities or darkness or whatever. So this is why we're here now at this point in time. This is about the age of enlightenment. So it's like, awakeness. Enlightenment is becoming awakened. It's identifying the divine within you and the divine in creation and identifying the other sources that are dark and evil. This is where we are supposed to be transitioning into. Is this return to this golden age of where we had these awarenesses and this connectedness and the power to control, protect ourselves and control our experience, our environment.
I just got the next multi-trillion dollar invention just come through my mind.
Okay. Want to hear it?
All right. Well, you said you're talking about frequencies. How would you know whether the frequency came from within or from outside? So I'm sitting here thinking the Israelis got these little nifty devices that you can actually take around and you can check to see if there's any transmitters in your room. I got one unit in my hand. It actually came from China. It's a CC308+. Basically, it has a built-in camera detector with a laser. You push this button and you can shine it around the room and it'll reflect off of any hidden camera in the room. And it also has a deal to tell you whether or not there's any transmitters in the room. So
I'm going to interrupt you. I wouldn't trust anything from China.
Well,
recent information came through about this guy who had a system like you're talking about from China.
Yeah.
And basically.
And the imprint. Yeah.
And basically, it's a spy mechanism that basically downloads all your codes and your hidden information, and hacks into your system. And this was given out by a guy who had one in his house, and one day he's sitting at his computer, and this voice comes through this computer and introduces itself and says, "Don't be afraid." He says, "I'm really here to help you. Your whole system there has been hacked. Your codes have been hacked. Your whole house, when you're gone, they're gonna, you know, basically your system has been hacked through that system from China that was supposed to protect that man's house."
Yeah, but see, my device that I'm talking about, we'd have to build it ourselves. Be like a wristwatch with a little little warning needle. You got green, which is your normal government spying on you. To actually, you're right next to one of these that's reading some hidden chip in your body or whatever. You see what I'm saying? But it only go off if there's a signal from the outside, not from a signal from your body. You see what I mean? Like,
well, it would identify a negative frequency is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And so an alarm would go off.
Yeah, so you're like, uh-oh, watch out. This might not be a thought that I'm thinking. It might just be somebody trying to sell me some socks.
But again, I'm going to say, so we have this innate within us. It's just that it's been dumbed down out of us, and we don't know how to really function with it. But there are certain stones. I can't remember these stones. Is it opals? I don't know, Barry. Maybe you remember or who it is. But we used to wear these stones. They were called mood rings. Remember those?
Yeah, I've seen those. Right. I used to have one.
They monitor your temperature in your body.
Well, they monitor your mood. They monitored your mood. If you were gloomy or depressed or whatever, the stone would change color.
Yeah.
Right?
We should bring those back.
Because
that mood ring right there could actually, you know, because of whatever energy's going on in your body, if you're being subjected to some outside way, that would infect your body and cause that ring to change color. So you'd know if it's like your normal color from you walking around. You know, they used to tell you whether you're stressed or whether you're happy.
That's
because
right.
of whatever color it was.
Yeah, this, whatever happened to them, I wonder.
I don't know, they did just
I remember
to see.
Well,
the authorities got wind of it and eliminated all of them. Oh,
bottom
that's a conspiracy.
We're doing this on the budget, 84 million mood rings. What's that in the budget there, guys?
I'm going to go out and look at flea
markets.
We're giving
up to the Mexicans.
I'm going to go out and look at flea markets, and I'm going to see if I can track down some of those old mood rings. And
I bet if you Google
it.
Mood rings on Google, you'd probably get something, but the CIA would be tracking you, so watch out.
Yeah.
Well, they're tracking us anyways, Barbara. They're listening to this conversation right now.
Oh, I know. I always say, hi, guys.
I do know. I start a radio show now. I make sure that I welcome them to the show, and hopefully they'll learn something today.
Yeah, I always say, who's ever out there listening? Listening to us? Whatever.
Yeah. It's all the same thing. We've got to make sure they feel wanted and invited.
All right.
And welcomed.
Check us out. You can go on eBay and you can buy a vintage mood ring used for $1.24.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
that must be one the authorities missed.
Huh. I was going there, and you beat me to it.
Yeah. Like minds think, you know, like alike, right? So there are also stones, various other elementals that are protective, stones, various stones, for instance, and many of the people, I guess you'd say, in ancient times and even of today, know of these particular, what is in within these particular stones that are more protective of energies and so on, you know.
I own me now a vintage mood ring, thanks to PayPal. It's on its way. I'll have me a mood ring soon. Cool.
Cool.
What did we start, man? Okay, everybody, order your mood ring today.
Yeah.
Well,
we better start producing mood rings.
What? When the zombie apocalypse really gets ramped up, you'll need those mood rings.
Yep.
I don't know what's going to happen here in the next little while, guys, but it's pretty crazy. We see these sealed indictments down in the States. We should talk. Have you guys talked about that today at all? Do you want to talk about that for a few minutes? Because I've been talking to some people.
About what?
These indictments, all these indictments that you've been hearing about, are now going to be open. I was talking to two people in American intelligence yesterday, real smart people, and they told me that this is going to happen, and the trickle down effects in society. We talked about this yesterday for about an hour, And I think people need to be prepared for possible chaos in our society. Your mind has to be prepared for it, because I said earlier in the show, you know, out of chaos comes control. And if all these indictments are open and the people go down that are going to go down, you are going to see a unbelievable ripple effect through the United States of America and around the world. These aren't just American indictments. These are international indictments.
Well, all there are basically the indictments, sealed indictments have been lowered recently, by the way. There were 67,000. Now there's a great drop in them, which means that the people have already been arrested and indicted. So that's, but I feel that the ones that people are screaming to have indicted, we're not going to know, because those are under military tribunal, and you don't know what goes on in military tribunals. So we may never know. The big top-notch people here, or that who we believe are the top-notch people, you know, like Clinton's, Obama's, Bush's, and so on across the board, Kerry, we're not going to know what happened to them. And by the way, recently, I don't know if you know this, within ever since Poppy's funeral, there's gone silence on Twitter of Obama, Bush, and Kerry, and all these people, Clinton's, have gone silent. So either they're out of the country on an island relaxing with their margaritas and safe, you know, or they're imprisoned and blah, blah, blah. We will never know this.
Well, I don't know if we will or not, Barbara. That's a big question. I mean,
what we
are
will know
world.
Is what they choose to tell us, Barry.
Folks, if you're...
But anyway, we do know, we know there's some stuff going down. We know that two prison barges have been sent to Guantanamo Bay, and that's not fantasy. That's a fact.
No, so I know, and there's three prisons. There's actually three prisons besides Gitmo that have been redone and ramped up.
Ready for,
and military has been deployed there to these. But also there are hundreds of military helicopters being seen down there in Texas, dismantled and sent out on trains. Where are they going?
Mm.
Patty last month saw trains going by, rolling by with tank after tank after tank after tank.
Man. Mm-hmm.
And this has
where
been seen
going?
Before. So where are they going and what's going to be happening? So yeah, we're expecting such a thing as martial law. We don't know. That's a given or an iffy now, because, again, what do you believe? Who do you believe when you hear Q say at first prepare for martial law and don't get out when you see all the military in the streets, but then, again, later on says, well, there's not going to be martial law. What do you believe?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Well,
the whole point is just be in preparation on a spiritual level.
The point I'm making too, Barbara. You have to be ready in your heart and be ready for it, because like I said, we know, we talked about it many times, how this is going to affect, unfortunately, a majority of the population are going to get knocked off their feet, and you know, that's
well, maybe,
you know,
literally,
you know, I'm aware I know you're prepared, I know that Shaziz is prepared, myself, I know I'm prepared for this, but a vast majority of the population aren't. And it's that vast majority that's going to dictate what's going to happen, unfortunately.
Well, for all the people who want to corner the market in women's jewelry as far as mood rings, there's a hot sale vintage 100 pieces fashion flower cute mood rings women's jewelry for $23.74 free shipping on eBay. Woohoo!
Hey, how about an early Christmas present there? Is it?
Yeah, there you go. And get ready for the zombie apocalypse.
Well, you
apocalypse.
Could put out an advertisement that says, prepare for the zombie apocalypse, get your mood ring now.
Get your mood ring today.
Yeah, that's what we need.
$19.99.
There you go. Well, you know, we laugh, but we got to fight fire with fire, to use technology against technology to try to protect ourselves. And we're not trying to scare people into being paranoid about the world you live in. It's all about getting to the point where you understand you're not as weak as you think you are. As you're not as weak as you're told you are.
Oh my gosh,
we got so much power, man. We just have to embrace it. I had one good experience here yesterday, guys. I'm going to share it to you real quick. There's a gentleman that I've been, coffee shop guy. You know, he's, over the years, he's called me a nutcase and conspiracy theorist. The other day, we got into a little verbal over in immigration, and he came up yesterday and shook my hand and apologized. He says, you know what, Barry, I spent about 5 or 6 hours 2 days ago really looking into what you actually talked about. And he says, you know what, my friend, I'm on board, and I'd like to help you. I'm going to get involved. And that came from a guy that's called me a nutcase. Actually used the F word on me one time. Thinks I'm just a, you know, thought I was just a nutcase.
What?
But he's it was so what's the word? Good to see somebody actually wake up. And
yep.
It wasn't about me or anything else. It was just about the fact the guy actually looked at me and said, "Yeah, you know what? All this stuff is really going on in our country," and it shook me. And we had a few words and shook hands and talked to you later, buddy.
Well, that's what the whole deal is about.
It was a rewarding day for me.
Try to wake people up from being zombies. Zombies are real. You might be a zombie. Go take the test to see if you are a zombie. I'll tell you one thing. If you go to the University of Mad Science, which I posted the link in there, you can find out real quick whether or not you're a zombie. All right? Just answer that. Answer that big hard question, that big old hard test of one single question. If you get yourself past that and print out your diploma when you graduate, then you'll know whether or not you're a zombie, because you can't be, you'll understand when you take the test. Really. But we joke a lot here on the Knights of the Round Table. Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry, sometimes we get angry and frustrated. But the whole ultimate goal is to try to make this world better. And we can't make it better unless people understand that there's things out there that's up against us and there's ways to fix it. Really, there's seriously ways to fix it. And we're coming down to the wire, and I hate this part of the show, but I love this part of the show. Because I don't like the lead, because we got a lot of good stuff coming on. We got a lot of stuff we're talking about. But other people have to be able to do shows. Barry's got shows coming up. Barbara and Patty's got shows coming up. Everybody, just get out there and listen to what they have to say. And use your discernment and go through all this information and try to work your way through there and talk to your friends and all that. But the best way you can help us out is just be an attendant. Come and show up. Say hi. Let us know you're here and that kind of stuff. You know? And our intentions are honorable as far as I'm concerned. We're not out here trying to sell you nothing or fear monger you or talk you into an agenda or change you over to from your spiritual journey to ours or anything like that. We're out here because we see something in this world that needs to be fixed. It's our world. You know, nature needs some help. We need some help. We need to find out the truth, and we're going to have to go this journey. We can go it alone. We can go it alone while we're fighting amongst each other and maybe never even figure out how far that humanity could actually, you know, excel. I want to see the ultimate dream. I want to see the heaven on earth, the utopia that I believe this world may have very well once been. I think that maybe one time in history we was able to do things that we would call fantasy right now. I believe we had powers and knowledge and artistic skills unlike anything we can even dream about. But I believe that that's been intentionally suppressed by, you know, people who want to be in control. Now maybe that makes me crazy, but as I've been down through the rabbit hole, in and out the rabbit hole, and sometimes stuck in the rabbit hole and pulled out to safety by a friend like Barbara or Barry here. They reached down the rabbit hole and said, "Look, it's come on out there, get your breath, because it's crazy down the rabbit hole." But how we get through this journey is we get through it together. And when we understand that together we make that big picture, that each one of us being the pieces of the puzzle, and that we have so much potential. And we're standing at a crossroads right now where we actually have solutions available to problems. You know, they presented the problems to us. They said, "We got to fix this." They said, "They're going to fix them for us." They were our representation. They were our leaders. And we took their word for it. But every time they said, they did not do what they said they were going to do. They said whatever it is that we needed to hear in order for us to push the button and say, "I choose you to be my representation." The best representation of you is you. The miracle you've been looking for is the one that you look at, what you see when you look in the mirror. Each and every one of you are on your own spiritual journey, and we love you for that, because that makes you your own personal individual. So we're not here to try to change you or convert you, or try to get you into some sort of Kool-Aid drinking thing where we're waiting for the UFO to come out from under the cloud. We're all going to go in there. We're not doing that. What we're doing is we say, They said that there was a problem. They said our planet was heating it up. We needed clean, renewable, alternative energy. And so a guy like me said, I could solve that. They said we had some sickness in the world. Barry went out and found some alternative medicines. They said we needed something different than what's going on. And Barbara stepped forward and said, this is the way it used to be. And this is what worked in the past. She shared information. And she shared it in a respectful manner with people who did not believe the way she did. And now, look at that. We're all sitting here together. And we're all resolving our issues. We're working through things together. And we're respectful to each other. We're respectful to our potential that we might even be wrong. I could be wrong. Everybody could be wrong. We all could be wrong. We know our history wasn't told square up to what it actually was. Otherwise, we wouldn't be finding all these nifty inventions that, you know, once were. There's things that we can do to heal each other. There's things that we can do to free each other. There's things that we can do to stop the wars. There's things that we can do to fix just about any problem that you could potentially imagine. I would even venture to say every problem that you can imagine. See, our Creator didn't create any trash, only treasure. And you're part of that treasure. That shiny jewel that's over on the other side of the box. I'm this shiny jewel that's just over there waving at you, smiling, saying, hey, let's get together and make this world look better, because the two of us standing together, that's a beautiful thing. You know, that makes that background out there, nature, smile. We all look good together. From every single nation, from every single walk of life, from every single belief system, if we can put our egos and our selfishness aside, we can make this world so amazing. I believe in the dream. I'll continue to believe in the dream until it's all over. My book says that no man knows the time or day, that he come like a thief in the night. So you ain't going to know the day you're going to die or the day the world's going to end. But if we got to live here in the here and now and we're all in this boat together, why would we want to make it so hard for each other? Why would we want to make it painful? Why would we want anybody to suffer or die of thirst in a world that is so vast, full of resources and just amazing things? We've been gifted something so incredible. And if we squander it right now, then our children and our children's children will pay the price. Unless, somehow or another, down the line, a Knights of the Round Table starts up and they start trying to do the same thing that we do right now, here today, yet they succeed. They succeed in bringing all the brilliant minds from all the different nations together to resolve all the problems, to end the wars and the suffering that mankind has put upon each other throughout the history of time. Our self-fulfilled prophecy of death and destruction can end here today if we send the ripples, those positive pebbles, the seed that is planted like Barbara always talks about, that takes our destiny to a whole different direction towards what we know in our hearts, truthfully, to be right. That's what we believe in here in the Knights of the Round Table. So with that said, Barbara, you want to go first?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, thank you, Shaziz and Barry. Also, always a great show. Yeah, an honor to be here. And thank everyone in the chat for joining us and whoever else is out there joining us, wherever they are. And, yeah, you know, I always say take what is said here from me, which I'm sharing or whatever, what sings to your heart spirit, you know? And that's all. And the sun just came out. We've had 4 or 5 days of overcast rain. This is a strange winter, but it's beautiful out, and you know, I feel we're here at an extraordinary moment in time. It's just like a blink of an eye, but what are we going to do with it? How are we going to participate is a key thing. And I do believe that we do create our own reality, and it's good to see everybody here. Give a shout out to Annie, and oh, there's another Angel, and Big Ben, and Charles, Two Dog, Lisa, Maestri, ah, yeah, and Gaz, of course, thank you, and Steven, and Sussex Man, and Troy. I just want to thank everyone for being here, and I think Tracy just popped in, but she's out now. And thank you so much, and we'll see you around the campus, because this is a big school. We're learning a lot. We have a lot to teach each other, too. And I'll be here tomorrow on the Turtle and Crow show with Patty, my sister.
Cool.
And Ilamaya, Dokshan.
Awesome. Yeah, when you get there with your sister, it's always like the whole room lights up. It's y'all ready to go. Don't matter what you're talking about. So,
thank you.
That's awesome. Barry, what you think?
Well, I think we're at a time now that people have to stand up and look in the mirror. And I'm going to reiterate, and Barbara just said that you got to listen to what your heart is telling you. And please get the courage to follow your convictions. Because we are at a very, very, very interesting and dangerous time. Exciting and dangerous time right now in our history. And I believe that there's going to be some chaotic events unfold. And I again say to people to make sure that you're prepared for that mentally, if you're prepared for it. Make sure your spirit and your heart is in the right place. Make sure you have a good, good, solid spiritual connection in your life. Because that right now, I believe, will carry you through the chaos that we're about to see. And I believe it's coming. But always a pleasure talking with you guys. I love getting with you guys because I love the feelings and the vibrations I get in this room when I'm talking with you guys. And we all know that's real. So thanks for having me in, guys. And see you next week.
Cool. Great show, folks. Look, hey, it's 2019 where things are looking up, and I got my mood ring on the way, so I'm prepared for the zombie apocalypse. All right. Hey, next time you see me in a video, it might be I'll have one of them mood rings on there. You'll be able to tell whether I'm frustrated or not. So it'll be a telltale sign. I got to learn what the colors mean on there, too. So, all right, everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. It's peace and love, as usual. Respect and honor and take care of each other. And we'll have a happy life together. Go out there and do what Barry does. Smile on somebody you don't even know. And see if you can get them to smile back. I one time said, I think it'd be really cool to see if you smiled, Barry, to actually be able to follow that smile from face to face to see how far it actually traveled.
It's contagious.
Yeah, Barbara's always talking about we're seed planters. And we plant those seeds out there. It'd be nice to watch that seed grow and to see all the fruits of our labor now benefit those in the future. It'd be nice to be able to watch those two episodes unfold before our very eyes to see that when we were sitting here saying the things that we said right now, we weren't doing it for nothing like some of the naysayers that would like to say, well, all you folks ever do is get on there and talk. No, folks, we don't just get on here and talk. We get on here, we open up our spirits and our souls and our hearts, and we gift it to the world with the power of the spoken word, and we talk common sense and solutions and everything that we can to try to motivate you to believe in yourself and to follow and be true to your spirit and walk your journey in the best way that you can. That way, you're the lighthouse that somebody's looking for. That's how we make this world better. That's how we fix things. Peace and love, everybody.
You man that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one hand.
Ooh.
One hand.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one hand.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man, sorry.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old. Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king. Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off your mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Ho, ho, ho! King Shaziz the Terrible! King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!